about. So easy.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait is all we do. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait is all we do. What the f*** is taking so long? 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 I gotta go home and eat and sleep and poo and pee and shower.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
And now,
none of you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
Our feature presentation.
That is an ominous way to start the show. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean program, this time for a Monday, the 8th of August.
Woo!
Already a Monday, isn't it?
Sure came fast.
Sure did.
Hey, Ellie McKay.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
How was Adele?
How dare you?
Was it great? Was it I mean, I know it's something you're looking forward to all year. Was it everything you hoped it would be?
You know, just looking at Kevin's Instagram, it was great. I did not go. Yeah, that was Kevin. That went.
Oh,
yeah.
You weren't.
Yeah,
Adele.
I didn't get tickets. I tried.
You love her.
I
so
do
much.
Love her, but I guess Kevin does as well.
So
yeah, and it's not like he had good tickets. It only looked, you know, like he was sitting on stage with her.
He
no
might have
deal.
Been 10 feet away from
it
her.
It was unreal.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you could count the pores on her face with those photos that he was posting. So
every picture he posted, I got more and more sad.
So you weren't there,
mm-mm.
but it was okay because you were watching the Red Sox at Dodger Stadium?
No.
You went to that instead?
No.
Kat, you had to make a tough choice.
Kat went to that. Kat went to that.
But I saw all sorts of pictures from the stadium with the
no, that
Red
was,
Sox.
That was Kat. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So it was just Netflix and eat like usual for you?
Yeah.
That was your weekend?
Catching up on Gilmore Girls before the big reboot.
Allie, what
it
are we going to
so
do with
It was so sad.
You?
Trust me. Trust me.
Is it worse when you have friends that are off doing the things that you could be doing? It makes it worse, right? When you have to see it all. Because you can ignore it if you
Listen,
don't see all their pictures.
I could have gone to the Saturday Red Sox game.
Mm-hmm.
It was at 1:05. You know
perfect.
Me in the sun. It's just not. It's not a good combo.
Right.
But I'm glad I didn't because they lost. Mm-hmm. But Big Poppy did play first base, so that would have been cool to see. But no, I didn't. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, this job is the best part of your day, isn't it?
Oh dear. This is so sad. Can we start over?
I am sad. Speaking of sad, I am sad that there is no Kevin. Appears to be no Kevin.
No.
Because I got a monkey story to get us started. You know how he feels about monkeys. Actually, this is the perfect story for both of you because he loves monkeys and you love ghosts.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read as much as you can stand from The Sun, the UK newspaper, The Sun.
Sure.
The headline is Spank the Monkey. So that tells you what kind of story this is going to be. The ghost of a masturbating ape haunts the hallways of a grand country estate in Dorset. Huh. Haunted Athelhampton Hall is a popular wedding venue with romantic spook hunters. A masturbating monkey, you guys.
A monkey or an ape? Because that's like a monkey would be cuter than an ape.
Well, they
that.
Use both. They are using them interchangeably in this article. So, there's no photo of the ghost, so I don't know. The ghost of a Randy Monkey, which was my air name, by the way, back in the 80s,
was it?
Randy Monkey, haunts the halls of a grand English country estate where romantic spook hunters flock to tie the knot. Now, is that a big crossover audience? People who are into getting married at a castle, but also into looking for ghosts.
And a ghost that's a monkey. I mean, that's very, it's a very, very specific. Minute, specific
I can't,
group.
I can't imagine they got a long waiting list for just that. Titillated tourists can often hear the saucy specter laughing while masturbating in Athelhampton Hall in Dorset near Dorchester. By the way, if you're laughing while masturbating, you are, in fact, doing it wrong. The spooky venue even has soul-searching couples clamoring to have their weddings held here in hopes of having the pervy primate appear in the background of their photos. The lovable ape's afterlife antics have helped the hall to be named one of the most haunted houses in Britain.
I want to kill this person.
The person who wrote the article? Yes. The 15th century house was originally built by the Martin family, whose crest featured an excited monkey sitting on a tree stump.
What are the chances?
But why? Why did it feature an excited monkey sitting on a tree stump?
Well,
the estate's motto was, he who looks at Martin's ape.
No, come on.
Martin's ape will look at him. What's going on with this family? What's happening?
Wait, don't you, like, how far back does the crest go? Because that can't be what was handed down.
It can't be.
No.
They had to, I mean, maybe something happened with this monkey and they said, we got to put this on our crest.
Yeah, we got to redo it.
John Morrison, 41, a tourist dad of three, took his entire family to the estate, spoke excitedly about the spanking spook. He said, we heard that Martin, the monkey who haunts the house, loves to scratch his privates while swinging around. We didn't see him, which is a shame. It would have been a real sight. Apparently, he's quite terrifying, quite friendly from what we heard. According to local legend, the unconventional Martin family had a pet ape which was free to wander the halls. Now we're getting into how everybody died, Allie. This is the part where it gets real.
Yeah.
When one of the Martin daughters had an unhappy love affair and decided to kill herself, the compassionate monkey began to follow her around. When she climbed a set of hidden stairs to a secret room, the ape trailed behind and watched as she took her own life with the door bolted.
Then why is he doing what he does?
Yes, and why is he jovial and happy?
I feel like he should be sad.
And here is the saddest sentence of the whole article, again from the Mirror UK. By the time the family search of the house and grounds eventually located the room, the ape had starved to death next to the girl's body. Now the ghost haunts the hall, often scratching at the paneling of the secret room and staircase in an eternal, frantic attempt to escape. Well, I think the next time you and your gal pals to get together for one of your weekends, I think you need to head to Dorset and stay at the Ethelhampton Hall. This sounds like the place for you guys.
I don't like it.
It's wackadoodle, isn't it?
It is crazy. I don't like it. But then it says he's just scratching. Is he scratching or is he...
Well,
you know,
they say both things in this article. I don't understand where the masturbation part comes in at
right?
all. Because this just sounds like there's nothing sexy time about this.
No.
It's the monkey who follows the lady into the room and watches her die, and then he dies.
Maybe he loved death a lot.
Maybe so. So anyway, that's a little something for you to think about to get your week started here. And let's talk about today's All Due Kevin Beach Show.
That's an extraordinarily stupid attitude, but I like it.
Well, we're going to try. We're going to do the best we can. Let me see. It's Monday. That means Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Talked to him today about the, among other things, the misunderstanding about the men's Olympic basketball team that ended up at a brothel in Rio over the weekend.
It's very confusing.
Well, they don't speak the language.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You make it up as you go.
Sure.
You read a sign. Actress, comedian Cameron Esposito in studio today. She's a very funny lady. Joe Buck is going to be stopping by today.
Joe Buck,
yes. Fox broadcaster of baseball and football, host of Undeniable with Joe Buck on HBO. He's a very good interviewer, by the way. So and now the pressure's on for us to not suck interviewing him, I guess.
God.
And Omar wants to talk today about being scarred for life when you see your parents naked.
Yeah.
Which, you know, can happen. You're all living in the same house.
Sure.
And little kids tend to walk in sometimes when they should.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw your parents naked. We're going to be looking for your calls in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Plus, it's the return of our friend Ralph Garman, everybody. Ralph is going to be here and taking our first look at the showbiz beat right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the return of this guy.
Ugh. Blech. Blech.
Right?
Blech.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the glug-glug and the sniff-sniff and the bloop-bloop. Boner.
Like a monkey.
Sir,
I'm well. How's everybody here?
Great.
On the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
106.7. You remembered all of that.
KROQ-FM.
He's not even looking at the cards, kids. This
Pasadena,
is from
Los Angeles.
This is from memory he's got this.
Alternative first.
How was vacation, man?
It was spectacular.
Yeah?
It was wonderful. It was delicious.
Are you tan, rested, and ready?
I am none of those things.
Okay, all right. Those are usually the best kind when you come back and you're like, you know what? I was ready to come back to work because I got enough sleep. I got enough rest.
No.
No, none of that.
None of that. No, it just makes you want to be working less.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you have a great vacation, you're like, I want to do this for the rest of my life. Instead of the other thing I was doing before I started doing this.
Yeah.
You do realize that not working is better than working.
Yes, as if you needed reinforcement on that concept. But it does happen. When you're on vacation, you're like, about 4 days in, you go, I've just unclenched like a fist. I feel so good now. I feel like, oh, I'm going to do this for the next, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And then maybe I'll go back to work.
Right.
When I get bored.
And then the harsh reality
is somebody's got to pay for all this crap. So
exactly.
You strap it on and you head back into battle.
Well, for what it's worth, you were very much missed, and we're happy to have you. Nope, it's all true.
That's two lies in a row, Bean. One more, and you get the Pinocchio Award.
You were very much missed is true.
That's what they give out now, Allie,
really?
The Pinocchio Award.
I did not know.
Oh, yes, they're following all the politicians, and they just fact-check their speeches, and then they give out a series of Pinocchios from 1 to 5 Pinocchios.
I've seen the Truthometer. Is
that
the
same? Oh,
no, this
is different.
Very different.
This is the Pinocchios, yes. Okay. How many Pinocchios? Bean's got two Pinocchios.
Oh, dear. Well, you are skirting it, mister.
Am I this close to being known forever as Lying Bean?
You will be known as Lying Bean in all my tweets.
And what about Crooked Alley over there?
Oh, yeah. Short-circuited in the brain.
Right, man. All right, well, let's take our very first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
As we do on a Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, despite lower-than-average reviews, Suicide Squad, number one at the box office, over the weekend with $135 million. Had a chance to check it out over the weekend.
Oh, do tell.
This is a movie that has a lot of problems, but at the same time, I found myself really enjoying myself. So
it's all you can ask
go
for.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Unlike the previous DC Comics movies like Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, it has a lot of fun in it, a lot of joy in this film. They seem to be having a good time making it. Will Smith is terrific in it. Margot Robbie is terrific in it.
And you were worried about Will Smith a little bit.
I was skeptical. But he, God bless him, he saves the film in a lot of a lot of moments. Yeah.
How's Jared Leto's Joker?
It is a choice
that
he makes throughout
the
film.
It's one way to play it.
That seems to be the consensus.
He is, he's Joker-y. Crazy. He's sure crazy. He lets you know how crazy he is for sure. And those false teeth don't get annoying at all. So he's got that going for him. But no, there's a lot of the script has a lot of issues. You find yourself scratching your head sometimes through the film going, really? Is it? No. Did you just say? But then something cool happens and you forget all about it. So
I know Kevin was tweeting about how he can't wait to go see it again.
Oh, so good, man. Louds
a lot of
and
louds.
The darkness with rain.
I think was Kevin's review. But no, so I did enjoy it, although there's some glaring issues with it, but good time at the movies. That's how I felt. So, Jason Bourne was second at the box office, $22.7 million. Then Bad Moms, Secret Life of Pets, and Star Trek Beyond rounding out the top five. And then the inexplicable Nine Lives made its debut over the weekend. $6.5 million made it number six at the box office. Oh, boy, I hope Kevin Spacey just got a truckload of $100 bills.
I am shocked that's in the top 10.
Yeah?
Huh.
Lights Out, 7th, Nerve, Ghostbusters, and Ice Age Collision Course for the rest of your movies. From the weekend's box office, hardest class to get into at Georgetown University next semester?
Pokemon.
No.
Oh.
The one that's being taught by Angelina Jolie.
Oh.
Yeah. She is becoming a visiting professor at the London School of Economics, which made the immediate rumors circulating that she would also be teaching at its sister school, Georgetown. And so everyone started to sign up for the economics class at Georgetown, hoping that Angelina Jolie would be the guest professor. Yeah, wouldn't you like that, you number nerds? But it turns out that those rumors may be unfounded, and there are no plans for her to teach at Georgetown in the immediate future. So, charbroiled, suckers! Now you got to learn about math and economics and stuff
from without Angelina Jolie. Nearly as hot as Angelina Jolie.
That's right. Yeah. So, That's a great way to get people to enroll in classes, though.
Right?
Just start spreading rumors. Oh, Brad Pitt's going to teach gym. Matt Damon's coming in to teach pottery. Everybody just signing up left and right. And Kris Jenner, apparently, in a serious car crash involving her brand new Rolls Royce last week. Sadly, she's fine.
But the accident wasn't serious enough.
Yeah, but the car was apparently banged up pretty bad. You know how it is when you bang up your new Rolls, right?
Sure.
So, all's well there. And Lindsay Lohan in the news again, finally coming clean about that huge fight with her fiancé, Igor Tarabasov, that ended their engagement. Apparently, she tells the Daily Mail paper in the UK that he did, in fact, assault her several times throughout their relationship. And she said, you can't stay in a relationship just for love. No woman can be hit and stay with that person. And then she adds, if that person isn't prepared to say sorry... No,
oh,
no,
it
doesn't matter about the sorry part. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, you're missing out on the bigger picture. Should have stopped when you were ahead with that no woman can be hit and stay with that person line.
Right.
But she's hanging out in Sardinia with another rich friend. God bless her rich friends, or else how would she do anything? She said she's been doing a lot of swimming, meditating, and listening over and over again to George Michael's hit classic song, Faith. Because you got to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
She's a mess.
Is she asking us to leave her alone and respect her privacy?
Not yet. That's okay. Tomorrow's publishing, I'm sure. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Dustin Hoffman is 79 years old today. He was born on this day, August the 8th. I did not know this. I'm surprised by this list a little bit. The Edge from U2 is 55 years old today.
He looks great.
He looks great. I had no idea he was 55. Scott Stapp turns 34. J.C. Chazet. What boy band was he, Allie? You follow
NSYNC.
These things. NSYNC. 40 years old today. Roger Federer, the tennis player, is 35. Actress Megan Good turns 35 today. Jackie Cruz, the actress, plays Flocka on Orange is the New Black. She's 30 years old. And singer Shawn Mendes is 18. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. And once again this week... Like we did all weekend long, we're handing out passes to Disneyland Resort, a deluxe annual pass or a park hopper pass. Your chance to win coming up in minutes. Get all the details and another chance for you to win at krock.com. Allie, you didn't watch any of the Olympics over the weekend?
I didn't.
Not even a tiny little bit?
I would if they were on at a time that was convenient or I didn't see the results 6 hours prior on Twitter.
Well, I got to tell you, this time delay.
It's absurd.
It's absurd for live sporting events. When Michael Phelps, spoiler alert, when Michael Phelps won another gold last night in the relay, it was like 6 hours.
Literally.
No joke.
Yeah.
Literally 6 hours after it already happened. So how much excitement can there be in watching that race when you already know how it ends?
I find it absurd. It insulting, their rationale for it. It's despicable.
Especially on the weekend.
Yeah.
At least you could make the argument that people have jobs for the most part during the weekend. That's why things need to be in prime time. But on the weekend, you've got Olympics on all the time anyway. Go ahead and show the stuff when it happens.
Yeah.
And boy, did NBC get blasted for how many commercials they shoehorned into that opening ceremony. There were 6 commercial breaks in the first 39 minutes of the opening ceremony. Again, an opening ceremony that had already happened 5 hours before, too.
Unreal.
By the way. So, anyway, we did get a lot of emails and social media posts. You know, there are a lot of different ways you can get in touch with the Kevin Beach Youth Show through our Facebook page, through our Twitter, through our Instagram, Snapchat. You can text us, the number 2 KROQ. But a lot of people were writing in about the Olympics, and I thought you might find this interesting. Dressage people. Are out in full force.
I'm telling you, you say anything that horse people can think you're making fun of a sport that involves horses, it is on.
Friday we did a phone topic here on the show where we said, look, it's time to mix up these Olympic sports because, first of all, dressage is dumb and that's out. So what are you going to replace it with? And people were calling with all sorts of things that they were suggesting that we have in the Olympics and some great ideas like beer pong instead of dressage. Well, here's just one example of the type of comment we heard from the horse people, Allie, that you're talking about. Erica says, Dear Kevin B, why are you bashing dressage? Is there another Olympic sport where men and women compete as equals? Is there another Olympic sport where people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s regularly compete? Is there another that connects to the horsemanship of the great military leaders in history? I would say there aren't any of those things and don't need to be.
Oh.
Look, I don't think you need people in their 60s in the Olympics.
I think it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Do you now?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Is it a sport?
I don't know if it's so much of a sport as it is maybe something recreational that you could do.
Well, a lot of people have been questioning that now that they see things like air rifle competitions on the Olympics, they have been questioning what is indeed a sport. Mm-hmm. Ellen writes in, I saw that the USA won a gold medal in women's shooting, which to me is not a sport. So here's a question for your listeners. What constitutes a sport?
Right.
Is walking a sport? How is car racing a sport? Does it have to be aerobic? My mom was so out of shape, she would have considered playing bingo a sport. What are the boundaries? That's what Ellen wants to know. Daryl writes in, listen, all of this is crap. The Olympics should only have sports that are timed, weighed, measured, or contested head-to-head. Any sport that has judges is BS. So get the F out. Gymnastics, figure skating, freestyle snowboarding, or dressage.
Okay, freestyle snowboarding is one of my favorite events. Gymnastics is my absolute favorite summer event.
And I think it might be the most popular event at the Olympics, I think. He says if it has judges, it's not a sport.
But they're judging how good you are at the sport.
F points for style or difficulty. I want timed events like running, swimming, skiing, skating, cycling, weighed events like weightlifting, measured events like long and high jump, javelin and archery, or contests like wrestling, fencing, soccer, baseball, basketball. That's it. Any effing thing you can do where people judge how hard it is or how much better you did it than the next guy is fine for the X Games, but not for the Olympics, says Daryl. All right, we did that phone topic last week about things that you believed when you were a kid, and we continue to get so many from our listeners. Dane writes in, I used to think that Forrest Gump was a real documentary. Imagine how impressed you would be by Forrest Gump if that was real. Kirker writes in, when I was a kid, I believed that the NFL draft was like the military draft, and anyone could be drafted to play pro football. Aww. Imagine how terrifying that was. You're just afraid you're going to get a call and go, I'm sorry, young man. You're going to go play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, Bean, I was listening to the show's podcast from Thursday, and I realized I also had a strange belief as a small child. Around the age of 7, I had been taught that the United States was originally only 13 states, and I was shown a map that only showed those states with a white background. I had also recently been taught in science class about how plate tectonics can raise land out of the ocean. It didn't occur to me that the U.S. didn't own all the land from West Coast to East Coast to begin with, so I thought that North America looked like a map of those 13 colonies to begin with, and over time, the land rose out of the ocean and added states as it went. How about that for a clever idea?
Well, that's kind of an advanced kid.
It's not the way it worked, unfortunately. No. Spiral from San Gabriel. Hey, thanks to Toy Story, I really believe that toys and packages were in some kind of suspended animation, and I had to open them quickly once I got them because otherwise they would die from having no air.
Oh, that's cute.
Robert, being black, I used to believe that only white people could play volleyball because they had a special bone in their hands to hit the ball. Every time I hit it, it would bounce off my hands and hit me in my own face. Matt says, I always believed that the Kevin and Bean show would get better. Hey, that's not...
Oh,
I don't,
that's
just mean. We played that video last week of the Virginia police officer that pulled over a black motorist. Mm-hmm. And we were all concerned how that video would end because so many have ended so poorly. And in fact, he was just pulling her over, if you'll remember, Allie, to say, we just wanted to make sure on a hot day that you were driving with an ice cream cone because that's required now. Rachel writes in. She's one of our black listeners. I know I am late checking in on this discussion about the cop who pulled over the black woman to give her ice cream. Well-intentioned, but good God, black people don't want your damn ice cream. They just want to be treated with the same justice as everyone else. Also, handing out ice cream cones to motorists? Thanks. Now I'm either going to be late to where I'm going because I have to sit here and eat my ice cream cone to show my gratitude to Massa, or I'm going to drive with something that's a much bigger distraction than the cell phone violation you would probably shoot me for. Who drives with a GD ice cream cone? How about putting your resources into training cops to de-escalate situations with black people as well as they do with whites instead of programs that F with black people, then reward them with the approval of the race with an ice cream cone? How insulting and manipulative and demeaning. I wanted to call him, but I had to go to work. Love you all, especially you, Allie, Rachel.
Well, she's got some points there, especially the last one.
This is why we were talking about how I know that the cops' hearts were in the right place, but I bet it's not going to be 100% universally loved, that program.
Right.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm listening to the podcast and hearing your latest rant and near coming to tears over customer service. I manage a customer service department and completely understand your frustration. I am frustrated on our side, too, but here's the deal. Companies do not like to spend on customer service because it does not generate revenue. It is considered a cost center, so they are always understaffed. Although companies always claim their customers are the most important part of the business, their actions do not back up their idea. Many customer service reps do what they do because they like helping people, but they are handicapped by the company they work for. They're always under the threat of a dissolution of the department because inevitably an executive thinks that it'll save money to automate or outsource. It all blows. I'm sorry. Love you guys. Long time, Jessica. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And finally, what were we talking about all day on Friday but the World Yo-Yo Championship going on in Cleveland? All of us had the live stream up watching these kids do yo-yo tricks. We talked about, hey, maybe we got to get the winner on. Hey, Bean, says Adam, who works at a talent agency. Let me know if you guys would like to talk to the winner of the World Yo-Yo Championship, Alex Hattery. He is 18 years old. He grew up in Torrance. He'll be going back to his sophomore year at MIT next year, majoring in robotics.
Oh, my God.
You should see this kid's yo-yo skills, by the way. I heard you talking about this on the show this morning. I thought you might be interested, says Adam. Yes, we will take Adam up on that. I did a little bit of research on Alex.
Of course
you'll be happy
did.
To know, Allie.
Sure.
I went to, yo-yonews.com, which is where you go for all of it. He is a multiple title holder.
Oh.
He has his own line of yo-yos and trading cards. And he appeared in a One Republic video doing yo-yo tricks.
I feel like he shouldn't be able to enter if he's got all that. He doesn't sound like a rookie. He sounds like a pro.
That's a great question. Is there a distinction between amateur and professional yo-yoers? I mean, I can't imagine anyone can make a living being a yo-yoer. So no matter how good you are or how many awards you've won, I suspect you are still classified as an amateur, I would think.
Good thing he'll have that MIT degree to fall back on.
To fall back on, right. Because I don't think yo-yos is where it's at for the rest of his life. But what do you think? Are you in on getting Alex on?
Absolutely.
I would love to talk to the champ. That sounds like fun. Anyway, that'll be later on in the week. We'll take a quick break. Talk to Harvey Lippin from TMZ.com right after this on K-Rock. Fox Network sports announcer Joe Buck on the program later on today. And actress, comedian Cameron Esposito is coming up. First, though, on a Monday morning, let's say hi to our good friend Harvey Lippin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Welcome back, sir. We missed you.
Oh, yeah.
Were you vacationing or were you working somewhere?
No, I was on vacation, but it feels like about a year ago now.
It does. It's been a while.
Been 6 days.
How much Olympics have you been watching?
I've been watching some, but I don't know why this season, or this year rather, I'm just not, I don't know. Are you guys as into it as you were in the past?
Not even a little.
No, and I noticed, Harvey, that the ratings, I mean, NBC, they can't be pleased. The ratings, I think, for the opening ceremonies were down like 27%. And then even worse, the next day, for the first day of competition, the ratings were so bad.
Well, I know. And but on the upside of all of that, it got me to watch this new show on HBO called The Night Of, which is awesome.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, it's our favorite.
It's the best.
We love it. And you especially must love it because of all of the, you know, all the courtroom stuff and the lawyers and everything.
It's so good. It is so good.
Yeah.
I'm really into it.
Yeah, it's one of the best things out there, that's for sure. Speaking of the Olympics, did you watch the French guy breaking his leg?
Watch it. Are you kidding? Have you looked at TMZ.com lately?
No, I knew it was up. I knew it was up. Look, I've seen the video posted a bunch of places, but resisted it most of the weekend. And then I finally broke that. I said, well, I better look at this one time. And now I feel like it's going to be like the Joe Theismann breaking his leg. And it's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of my life. I'll never forget what it looked like to see his leg flop like that.
And guess what? The next time anything like that happens, you will repeat the same mistake.
Yeah, you're probably right. Oh, my God, it was so awful.
I know. And did you see, I mean, the insult to injury, they dropped him when they were taking him into the ambulance on the stretcher.
No.
Yes, they did.
God.
Oh.
Yep, the guys who were holding the bottom half of the stretcher let it slip onto the ground. It was just so awful. Hey, you had a funny Olympic story about something that happened with the U.S. basketball team, though, out and about in Rio. I love this.
So, so here's the deal. Who was it? DeAndre Jordan.
Yes.
DeMarcus and DeMar were out out in the town in Rio, right? And
they went to
and they went to a spa. It turned out to be a whorehouse.
Oh.
And, and so they're, you know, look, they were at the bar and they're in their robes and whatnot. And all of a sudden, you know, we're told they found, they say that they realized where they were and they left. And, you know, there could be some confusion there. There was a, there's a bar in there and whatnot. The Rolling Stone called it one of the high-end brothels in Rio.
Right, but when they asked them to change into a robe, though,
I do some of my best drinking in a robe before a massage.
Yes. That's right, and it's a spa. So, you know, I mean, well, it could be a spa. So anyway, they kind of hightailed it out of there, but it was kind of funny.
Do you buy it, Harvey?
You know, look, it's possible.
It certainly is possible.
And, okay. and listen, the people there said the only thing they saw them at was the bar. So
okay. All right. Non-Olympics. I was surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been. I thought this Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing was going to be we just leave with whatever we brought to the marriage, and there wasn't going to be a lawsuit or money changing hands or anything like that.
Are you kidding me?
That's what I thought my understanding was. But no, Amber is going after him for money?
Where did you get that understanding?
I guess I just – maybe in my mind I hoped that would be the case because they both have careers where they make plenty of money. So why would they need
– She wants a lot of money.
Okay. So what's going on with the deposition then?
So, you know, this was a 15-month marriage and she is asking for spousal support. She's asking for, you know, a cut of what they made during the year and, you know, and she's alleging domestic violence. So they have been dealing with this deposition for months and months, and Johnny's side is saying that she has stalled, she's lied, that she said she was out of town when she wasn't to avoid taking a deposition because they have a lot of questions to ask her, you know, including, you know, the two things that are difficult for her are when the police came and looked at her the night this allegedly happened, they didn't see any injuries and they didn't see any breakage in the apartment, yet the pictures that she took and surfaced days later show pretty severe injuries and a lot of breakage. So the question is, when that happened? And so they have a lot of questions. They had this deposition scheduled for 10 o'clock on Saturday. 10 o'clock, no Amber. 10:30, no Amber. 11 o'clock, no Amber. 11:30, her car rolls up, and she decides she doesn't want to get out in the front, so she goes to the side, goes in the back, and they were there until 9 o'clock at night.
Holy moly.
I know. So, you know, whatever happened, you know, it took a long time because technically they're not even allowed to go beyond 7 hours unless everybody agrees. So something was up inside there, and nobody's talking right now.
So no prenup whatsoever?
Why does that surprise you?
It surprised. It totally surprised me.
Because they got married in 2015.
What
after
is wrong
been,
with these
after
people?
There have been hundreds of other stories that where it's gone bad because there was no prenup.
I know, but no prenup. And you know, and he makes a lot of money. So you know, theoretically, she's going to get something for sure. She is going to get something. And they've been dealing with settlement negotiations for a long time, but I think a lot of this is going to come down to ego. That, you know, Johnny, the way I see it, it's hard for me to believe that he is going to settle this thing without her retracting the domestic violence claim because he says it's BS.
Right.
And
interesting.
And then she, as far as I can see, doesn't want to retract it. So this may have to do with that as much as it does money.
Nice. Are there any last question for you, Harvey, because I know you got to get to your meeting. Are there any legal repercussions to this domestic violence charge? Is that going forward at all?
Well, it could. They could, you know, theoretically, they could file charges. My guess is, based on everything I know about this thing, it's not going to happen. This will be a civil matter.
Gotcha.
I don't think it's going to happen.
All right.
You know, it could, but I'm got a strong hunch it won't.
All right. Well, keep us posted. Thank you for that. TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. Don't forget TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4, also on Fox. TMZ Sports at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, get your tickets for visiting friends and family in Southern California all summer long. The TMZ Tour only available at TMZ.com. Welcome back, Harvey. We missed you. Thanks for coming on today.
Okay, guys. See you next week.
That's pretty strong, actually. That actually worked. I got to give it up for you there. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Chip is out, so somebody's got to pick up the slack for the hay, right?
Got to do it.
I don't know.
And Panic at the Disco had they played all, together all summer long, and they closed it out Saturday night at Irvine Meadows. I heard raves about that show. That sounds like that was so much fun. What a great lineup, by the way.
Incredible.
Weezer, Panic at the Disco, and Andrew McMahon, all on the same bill down there at Irvine. So, way to go if you went. If you went, very, very lucky. All right, Donald Trump still running for president?
He is.
All right,
he's, very much still running.
Clint Eastwood is in the news. He did an interview with Esquire magazine. He stopped short of endorsing Mr. Trump, but he did say he would not be voting for Hillary Clinton. But something he said makes me think that Trump is his guy, because he talked about how we are in a pussy generation right now. His words.
It's
we're
a great
really
band.
In a pussy generation. They are a great band. Everyone's walking on eggshells. We see people accusing people of being racist and all kinds of stuff. When I grew up, those things weren't called racist. So it sounds to me like he's got a sympathetic ear for Donald Trump. But we thought, why speculate when we're lucky enough to know Mr. Clint Eastwood? Let's get him back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show after a long time off. Hey, Clint, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. It's great to talk to you. Hey, I'm so looking forward to your Sully movie with Tom Hanks coming out later this year. That looks amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, so politics. You're obviously a guy who's been very politically active for a long time. You used to be the mayor of Carmel, if I remember correctly,
right?
I was the
goddamn mayor of Carmel.
Right?
Yep.
And
God
you
damn it.
You okay. spoke at the Republican National Convention 4 years ago in support of Mitt Romney, but we didn't
I
see you.
I talked to a chair.
You really did.
He did.
I said, hey, chair, you're empty. Yeah.
Right. What was that about, by the way? Does that, in retrospect, was that a good idea, Clint?
Best goddamn idea I've ever had. Mm.
But we didn't see you in Cleveland this year speaking up for Mr. Trump. How come?
I couldn't find a chair.
Okay. Oh. All right.
All the chairs were filled.
So what do you mean by this quote about how we're living in a pussy generation and we're too politically correct?
America's filled with goddamn pussies.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's so politically correct. Mm-hmm. Kissing ass. In my day, when I was young, it wasn't racist. It was tough.
Well, you do realize when you say it wasn't racist when I was young, that doesn't make it not racist.
It does.
I don't think so.
In the old days, a broad like you wouldn't be speaking so mouthy.
I hate you, Clint.
You'd shut your mouth and make me a sandwich.
I don't like you at all.
The good old days.
No, those days are long gone.
It wasn't racist or sexist. It was the way America was.
Okay, but as an example, you defend what Mr. Trump said about that judge who was, you know, born in Indiana, and Mr. Trump suggested that he couldn't make a ruling because he was blinded by his Mexican heritage.
Right,
and
that's not racist.
That's the definition of racist, is to say because his family came from Mexico, he can't be a good, competent judge.
In my day, you could go up to a Mexican judge.
Oh, no.
I don't like where the sentence is headed.
What could you do?
Clint?
Oh, no.
Sorry, it just went off.
Yeah, be careful with that. There's no need for firearms in this conversation. Why? What are you even shooting at, Clint?
I had to kill dead air when I'm laughing.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. All right.
I'd go up to a Mexican judge and say, uh-huh. Good morning, Pedro. Feel like a nap? How about a siesta?
Right.
Okay.
Hey, where's your big hat?
Okay,
that
again.
Wasn't racist.
It
well,
is.
See, all three of those things.
Just a guy saying hello to another guy.
Right. In a racist way, though. This
not
is, again.
Not racist at all, you pussies.
It's an American judge.
Don't be such a kiss ass.
All right. So
you could go up to a black guy and say, hi, black guy.
No. You would never address a guy by the color of his skin, Clint.
Plenty of room in the back of the bus.
You wouldn't
those
say that.
Good old days in
oh,
America.
Clint,
you're maybe too old to be doing interviews.
I loved America back then.
Uh-huh.
Back when you could say to somebody, so what are you, a Jew?
Okay, but
that wouldn't be an offensive question.
I feel like you're going out of your way to be offensive in this interview.
It's not like it was when I was a kid. The good old days. You remember the Depression? Those were good days.
Wasn't that literally the worst time in America's history?
I don't know. I'm so old.
You do sound confused. Look, I know it's Monday, and that's a hard pill to swallow, but aren't we all feeling great now that we had a chance to see an evening of professional football on our TV?
What,
I mean, the fact that the NFL is back, and we're able to see the Packers playing last night against the Colts, so great. I mean, even though it's not, all the starters, football again was
awkward.
That was the best.
You must have missed, I know you're trying to be current and talk about
that. That was last night, the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, but you may have not actually tuned in. You may have missed the fact that they had to call.
I didn't see who won. I missed the end of the game.
You didn't watch any of the game. Apparently, the game was canceled. It was called because of paint. Canceled due to paint. Paint issues.
Didn't they have literally a year to prepare for this game last night?
Coming. They knew.
No. Because kids need to play on that field.
But they knew that they were going to be doing a game last night.
Stephen Hawking Junior High, wherever they play those games there in Canton.
So they painted in the end zone and it made the grass too hard?
Well, not just the end zone. There was midfield also that they couldn't move
on. Pretty much everywhere.
And it wasn't too hard, Bean. The problem was it was too sticky.
Oh, it was too sticky.
And
was
the players were complaining that they were getting stuck in the paint as they tried to walk the field.
And then the artificial turf was balling, as I understand. Like, little pieces of it were falling off. Apparently they bought a used turf for that field.
Yeah.
Wasn't even new.
It was down at Nick Green's used turf shop. He's got a place down there.
Hi, I'm Nick. Come on down. We had yards and yards of AstroTurf. Barely used. Come on down to Nick Green's.
NFL can't get out of their own way, can they?
They're the worst.
They're the worst in the sense that they're the most successful professional sport in the world.
Which means you make $1 billion, how about have the field be okay for the Hall of Fame game?
I'm not saying that shouldn't have been handled, but they're hardly the worst.
They're the worst.
When it comes to professional sports.
The NFL is the worst when it comes to letting men that beat their girlfriends play, when it comes to ridiculous suspensions
of one of the most wonderful humans ever.
Allie. Let it go.
Sit out four games. Despicable.
All right. We're off on a tangent now. Ralph is back from vacation. Ladies and gentlemen, time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Because it's Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Suicide Squad, as expected, number one in its debut with $135 million at the box office. Saw it over the weekend. Good film, fun film, enjoyable summertime action film. Some real good moments in it. Some big issues with the script and some of the performances. But overall, see, here's the thing that they have to learn about comic book movies. If you put a little fun in them, it can forgive a multitude of sins when it comes to the actual nuts and bolts of a movie.
And kind of the problem with the DC movies up till this point has been they were so dark and so not fun that it seems like they kind of are starting to turn it around a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're getting it now. So we'll see what happens moving forward with Justice League and Wonder Woman and all those other films they have coming out. Jason Bourne was second in the box office with $22.7 million. Bad Moms, The Secret Life of Pets, and Star Trek Beyond with the top five. Nine Lives in its debut. That's Kevin Spacey as a cat.
Sure.
In case you were not familiar with Nine Lives.
And that's him inhabiting the body of a cat, not just doing a voiceover of a cat, right? Like he becomes a cat?
Sure, Bean. He's turned into a cat.
Into a cat, okay.
By a magical cat shop owner.
All right.
You heard me. $6.5 million made that movie number six at the box office. Lights Out, Nerve, Ghostbusters, Ice Age Collision Course. Those are your top 10 films. If you're a movie fan, by the way, I wanted to give you a heads up. Over the weekend, I was at Universal Studios, and I checked out this display they've got going on at the Globe Theater there in the back lot at Universal Studios. It's not the back lot. It's actually, the place where you go near the Minions ride. But it's called From Coraline to Kubo, A Magical Laika Experience. And Laika, if you're familiar with animated films at all, I know, Bean, you're not a big animated fan, but if you like animated films, Laika are the people behind Coraline, which was a great film.
So good.
Paranorman, The Box Trolls, and now they've got Kubo coming out. But what they do is they show you a behind-the-scenes look at what I think is a miracle of movie making, which is stop-motion animation. I don't know if you're familiar with this process or not, but it's been around forever. But it is the use of practical real-life puppets, figures, that they move a frame at a time in order to get a performance out of. And it's an insane amount of work that goes into these films.
Yeah, the hours involved in that.
Just to wave is like a whole day. It's insane.
You have no idea. It takes like weeks to make 30 seconds of film.
Yeah.
And the process that they use, they show you behind the scenes how they change the face. They've got like separate little faces they put on to change the expressions on the characters. If you're a movie fan at all and you like to see the, how they make this stuff, do yourself a favor. Go check it out. It's at the Hollywood Globe Theater at Universal Studios, and it's there from now until August 14th, I think it closes.
So, do they hire a little 10-year-old Korean kids to do it?
No. There's, I think they work out of Portland.
Oh, that's a surprise.
And that's where Leica's stationed. I think that's where they have their headquarters. Anyway, it was fascinating to me because I like to see all that movie-making stuff. And if you're like that, again, it's at Universal Studios Hollywood. You can check it out until the 14th, I think it's around.
It's a good tip.
I took the kid, and she was fascinated. And just, if you got kids, they will really like to see. They've got the sets, and they've got the actual puppets themselves, and they show you the process. Really interesting stuff. All right, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I got to do it.
Okay.
Bow Wow. Remember rapper Bow Wow?
Formerly sure.
Known as Lil Bow Wow.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Today it has been announced that he is retiring from rap.
Oh, no.
Sit down.
It's true.
What are we going to do?
His forthcoming album, NYLTH, Nilth, Nilth?
Nilth?
I don't know. Will be his final.
But don't we need him now more than ever?
That's what I'm saying. How can he do this to us? I always said years ago I'd retire from music before 30, the 29-year-old Bow Wow said. I just can't see myself at 30 years old rapping. Neither can we, Bow Wow. Neither can we. Why be greedy? I'm good with everything I accomplished. So Bow Wow officially has announced his retirement today. So,
but doesn't he look
find
around?
Find someone close to you and give them a hug.
Doesn't he look around and see a guy like Chuck D who's still rapping and is great in his 50s?
If you can call that rapping.
You don't have to be
that
30.
That old rap that he does.
It's exactly what I'd call it.
The good news is Bow Wow's announced he's not going to give up his acting career.
Oh, thank God.
So hopefully we'll see more performances like his work on CSI Cyber. I don't know why people have to announce stuff, but they do.
Holy moly, I'm looking at his Twitter. He said he made $20 million off of rap.
How much did he keep? That's the question.
That's a good question.
Not what you make, it's what you keep. And speaking of money, Hugh Hefner. Remember we had that big story how he sold his house, the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
To that Twinkie heir.
Candy heir. Mogul or something, right.
Yeah. For $110 million. That deal has fallen through.
Oh, no.
Hugh apparently did not want to let Twinkie Boy have access to the mansion before his death. It wasn't enough that he had to live there until he died. He didn't want anybody in the house until he died.
What?
And so why are you selling your house?
The Twinkie King said, but I want to come in there and start making renovations and, you know, change the shag carpeting in the game room and stuff like that. And Hugh said, no. So
what?
The mansion's scheduled to go back on the market today. So if you were looking to bet, if you were just a little short, if you maybe you only offered $110 million, as opposed to 111 or change, whatever actually went for. Maybe this is your second chance. So.
I hope Hugh understands that no matter who buys it, they're going to want to get in there and start disinfecting.
Oh, how dare you, sir. Nothing but the highest hygiene standards were set at that location.
I'm certain that's true.
Women would be hosed down with disinfectant before they would even enter the hallowed grounds.
All right.
Let's not forget Scott Baio.
It was like a women's prison. They'd come in there and they'd spray him down, de-louse him and stuff, give him a good scrubbing, and then just release them. Free-range girls they were, just able to graze.
Your fantasies are
where the peacocks roam.
All right, we've lost Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dustin Hoffman, legend. Never did a talking cat movie, not once.
Nope. Mm-mm. Still time.
79 years old today. 79? That's good for 79. The Edge of U2 is 55. Scott Stapp of Creed turns 43 today. J.C. Chazay is 40 years old today. Roger Federer is 35. Actress Megan Good celebrates her 35th birthday. Jackie Cruz, Flocka, from Orange is the New Black is 30 years old today. And singer Shawn Mendes celebrates 18 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. We got a lot of good stuff coming up on the program today, including actress, comedian Cameron Esposito is going to be here next hour. But we do have time to include your phone calls with Kevin Bean's What's Good. Haven't had time for a few days, but today we do. You can call us on any topic on your mind right now at 1-800-520-1067. You got comments, you got questions, you got complaints, whatever it is, we are here for you. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is next on the world famous K-Rock. All right, this will be fun. 1-800-520-1067. Time to include your phone calls on the show. It's time for Kevin Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
All right, got a good batch of calls here, including, let's go to Nestor first. East L.A., please. He's on line four to get us started here on a Monday morning. What's up, Nestor? What's good?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. So I want to trash on the game.
All right. That sounds like a wise move. That sounds like a well-thought-out strategy.
Man, I'm a big fan of the game.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I seen a couple of his shows, and I went to one of his shows on Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Boo! It sucked.
What was the problem?
Stand on stage, grab his wiener, and smoke joints all night.
Ooh, go on.
So there wasn't enough rapping for you? Was that the problem, Nestor?
There was zero rapping.
Well, I doubt there was zero. I can't imagine there was none.
No, there was zero rapping.
That just sounds like a bad business model right there. As a rapper.
As a rapper, I would expect at least some rapping. All right.
I seriously thought Game is listening right now, but Game, if you are, I hate you. You suck. That was the worst show ever.
Again, okay. Nestor. That was Nestor.
Right, that was Nestor. It was not Ali. It was not Bean. It was just Nestor and Beer Mug.
Nestor,
do you also hate the player, or do you just hate the game?
Hang up. Oh, Nestor, hang up. Save yourself. Save yourself.
Let's go to Mike. He's in Fontana. He's up next. He's on line five on the Kevin Bean Show. I hope Mike has some good news for us. Welcome to the show, sir. What's good?
Morning, Kevin and Bean. So over last weekend, my brother was one of the three missing hikers who was found deceased in the Angeles Crest Mountains.
Oh, no.
I just want to share that the Fontana Police Department is doing a barbecue fundraiser this Thursday to support all three families. It's from 11 to 7 at the Fontana Police Department.
I am so sorry for your loss and so sorry to hear that. What happened? What caused it? Do you know?
A car accident. So.
Oh, my God.
This is my brother-in-law, Neil Gamboa, his best friend, Casey Vance, and their good friend, Samantha Ornelas, were the three who were found deceased.
Oh, man, geez. I can't even imagine what your family has been going through. I'm so, so sorry. Is there a website or something for the event that you mentioned that people can go to get more information to help?
I think they can go to the Fontana Police Department's website to get more information from there.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't really know of a direct website.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's very good information. And again, I feel terrible for you and your whole family, and I'm thank you for calling.
Thank you, guys. Okay. We love to listen to you in the morning, so it's just surreal. So
you
I really appreciate everything you guys do. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Good luck to you and your family. Oh, that's so awful. I did not know that was going to be the case there. All right, let's try Delina. Maybe she's got some good news for us. Van Nuys, she's on line two. She's up next.
Hi.
Hey, Delina. What can we do for you? What's good?
Over the weekend, my cousin has been suffering from lupus for the past 6 years. It's kind of like a cancer to where your body on the inside, the muscles start to shut down, like little by little. And it's like hard.
This one better have a happy ending after the last call.
It will.
Okay, good.
We did a GoFundMe and we finally saved enough money and for him to get a cure because we just recently discovered that there's a cure. It's been tested. There's been so many patients and today is his first day getting cured of lupus.
Oh, that's fantastic. I had not heard this medical breakthrough that there was a cure. That's incredible. What's his name?
His name is Angel Garcia.
Uh-huh. And where's he getting the treatment done?
he's getting the treatment down in Mexico. There's a doctor who has been studying it for years and everything, and he discovered a cure, and it's a very 100%, like, he will show you his patients, give you their info, so then you can feel more comfortable and talk to them about the experience.
Oh, Delina, I hope what you're saying is true.
I am nervous for you, Delina.
I'm nervous about it being in Mexico. Not that there aren't great doctors all over the world, but I'm worried about there being a cure and America not using it.
There has been plenty of trials in America, but this one has been the one that's, like, improved the most during the years and everything. And the patients are absolutely wonderful.
We gotta go, but will you get back to us and let us know how he is doing?
Yes, I will.
Okay, good luck. I hope it all works out. I hope he does great.
Thanks.
Okay. Dare I take another one?
I'd go to Rudy, line three, because I agree.
Okay.
Yes.
Rudy's going to end this on a positive note.
Yes.
Rudy, thank you so much for calling the Kevin DeBean Show. What's good?
Oh, you guys are welcome. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, we're a little battered, a little beaten up.
Yeah, such sour news this morning. Let me change the mood here. And I wanted to say that, have you guys ever been to the Magic Castle
in
Hollywood?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
It's the best.
Okay. Didn't you feel like you were 8 years old again?
Everything in there was magical, from even like the bar setup, and then they've got the ghost playing the piano, and it's the coolest. You have to move the little thing. Is it a book or an owl just to get in, and the doors open? You have to say open sesame?
You have to say open sesame, and the door of the little book depository thing opens on its own. At least I hope it's opened by someone, not by itself. But it's all, even when I was having my dinner there, I was thinking, like, this better be real meat. I don't want to dig into something that isn't real, because everything there is, like, magic.
It's magical meat.
We're going to have to get your phone number, because Kevin is out today, but we have been talking to him off the air for the past couple of weeks. For some reason, he hates magic.
Yeah, it's insane. What? No, it's like, with a passion.
With a passion. Like, anyone who does magic or enjoys magic, Kevin wishes a heat ray death on. So we want to get your phone number. When he gets back, can we get you back on the air and you can try to sell him on the Magic Castle? Because that's what Allie's been trying to do. Is, hey, Kevin, just go to the Magic Castle.
Rudy, if you can, leave out that there's a clothing. What is it? A
dress code?
A dress code. Thank you.
Oh,
Leave that out.
That's
if he
right.
finds out that he has to wear a suit, it's off. Don't bring that up.
All right. So you hang on, Rudy. We want to get your phone number. We want you to help us convince Kevin that magic is okay. All right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks so much for calling. This has been What's Good?
What's Good?
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ for a Monday morning. Look at this. A first-time guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cameron Esposito has just joined us in studio. Hey, Cameron, how are you?
Oh, wow. I didn't know there would be clapping. I feel great.
Oh, yeah. Not always clapping, so you should feel great.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's a warm Kevin and Bean welcome is what that is. I'm always surprised when there's somebody that we've seen on TV a lot for years that we like, and then I realize we've never had them on the show. So it's always fun for me when we get to meet people for the first time in person.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the honor's all yours.
I don't doubt that at all.
I see what you did.
Cameron is a stand-up comedian. She is an actor. She is a podcaster. She is a writer. And I feel like now is the busiest you've ever been in your life. Am I wrong about that?
No, I'm for sure the busiest I've ever been. Career's going pretty decent. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm a newlywed.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Got married just December, right?
Yeah, I got married like 6 months ago.
Wow.
Yes.
Did you get married in a comedy club?
Actually, that's kind of true. I got married in a rock club because I'm just a little cooler than getting married in a comedy club.
Because that would be dorky.
Yeah. No, right. Comedy club, it's like, 2-drink minimum, kind of a bummer. Right. Rock club, it's like, hang on a second. Excuse me. Are you kidding me? Are these not only lesbians that are getting married wearing cool suits, but also serving hot dogs at their wedding, and I have to show up at a rock club? Like, I will be there. You know?
Absolutely.
How was that venue chosen?
Well, I'm from Chicago, and so this is a very cool, legendary rock club in Chicago called The Hideout. Like, every band you've ever heard of that is that came out of Chicago played there. And it's also in this industrial area where there's like one little sign and then there's an A-frame house there that looks like the house from Up. Anyway, my point is I'm very cool and I had a very cool wedding.
And is this a venue that meant a lot to you growing up? You saw a bunch of great shows there?
Well, I started my stand-up career in Chicago. And so I used to perform there a bunch and I know the owners. And so when I was thinking about where, when my wife and I were thinking about where to get married, somebody told us to get married at a place that's important to you, which
sure.
I mean, what?
That's weird. Yeah.
You know? And so I said, oh, I know a place that I like very much.
It is funny because I think most people get married in a church that they have never set foot in before and never will again after the wedding.
That's exactly right. That's why you have to perhaps be the kind of person who can't get married in a church. And then
bingo.
You can pick wherever you want.
That is an excellent point, Cameron, that I did not think of. Did you and your lovely bride, did you guys do any stand-up at the reception?
No, we didn't, but
okay.
Took
a night off.
We did take a very rare night off. I mean, I'm kind of an idiot because two nights before the wedding, I recorded a stand-up special across town in a bigger venue in Chicago.
This was marriage material, right?
Yeah, this is
very
called
funny.
Marriage material. And by the way, don't do that.
No.
If you guys are thinking about, should I combine a major life event
right.
where I have to look like I have a rested face
sure.
and doing an hour of stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't make it the most stressful
times.
Week of your life
yeah,
on purpose.
Don't do it.
Why'd you do it?
Well,
did you not have a calendar? You're like, oh, crap.
Because it was such an enormous moment in my life, politically and emotionally. Uh-huh. I was excited. I was like, I could make history.
Sure.
I could be like this comic who's within the first year of marriage equality being legal. I can go out there. I can record it. I had all these. You understand. We have dreams.
Sure.
Right.
We're just regular people.
You're
with
making
dreams.
Your mark, right?
Yes. And so this was a dumb idea.
Cameron. Is it unusual, forgive me for not knowing this off the top of my head, but is it unusual for comedians to be married to each other?
Yes.
Are there a lot of successful relationships where both people are stand-ups?
Right. So, yes, you're correct to point out that my wife is also a comic. Mm-hmm. And are there a lot of successful relationships between
yeah.
comics? I don't know, but certainly comics are together for some period of time. We do have some competition. Moshe Kesher and Natasha Leggero are also
oh,
in
sure,
West.
Yeah. Yes. We've had both of them in. Yeah. That
and so,
sense.
I mean, they got married like around the same time. And obviously, you know, we're really kind of neck and neck comparing notes, trying to figure out
I feel
out
like you guys need to settle this. You need
yeah.
to settle this on The Amazing Race. I think all four of you need to go on The Amazing Race and find out who's better.
Yeah, and jokes along the way, I'm assuming right. as well, will be a factor. That's how you get the key to the next city?
I have not watched that.
I don't know how you
show,
put the
but I don't think at all. Really?
No. So you get keys to cities along the way.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
That's got to be true.
All right.
And then you end. They go. You go. Here's the key ring. Do you remember?
That's like a janitor.
I don't.
Like just a key ring. Like, hi, I'm Schneider. That's weird.
So I guess the beautiful thing about being in the same occupation, no matter what it is you certainly understand the other person and what they're going through and what their stresses are and schedules are and everything like that. Are there any disadvantages to both being in comedy, like when you guys are having a conversation and she says, hey, that's my joke, and you say, no, that's my joke because I just thought of it?
Yeah, it's enormously stressful. She is maybe funnier than me.
I wasn't going to say it.
And it is the worst, you know, because here I am.
I mean,
just trying to
make
a name for myself.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then I have to deal with, you know what else is the stressful thing? Not only is Rhea really funny, she's also into sports.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, I can compete in the funny arena. I'm
right.
pretty funny.
Right.
But she plays baseball on the weekend in a co-ed league, like with men, like with male comics.
Come on.
And then I just can't compete with that.
Right.
No.
I mean, she's a third baseman. In a men's baseball
yeah,
league?
She's yeah, not she's just like sitting on the bench.
Hey,
she's,
this is stressful.
She's playing.
Yeah.
She's
so
showing
it's,
up. She's
it's annoying because...
What's the thing that you're great at that she has no ability to do?
Well, I love musicals, you know, which really helps with male comedy. You know what I mean? Like, we're as women, we're a minority in our field. And
right.
so I just feel like the interests that I have...
Sure.
Musicals.
Guys love to talk about
it. The movie Carol.
Sure. Male comics
which,
love Carol.
By the way, I have read and also I'm currently listening to the audiobook.
You are all in on
Olympic
Carol.
Olympic swimming. You know, like just things that when you try to connect with your male coworkers.
Not so much.
It's just like their first line of conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of, hey, let's talk about Carol again. There's not a lot of that
going
on.
I mean, there's a lot of that going on. It's not being received well, but I'm right, sure exactly. I'm saying it.
All right. Cameron Esposito is here at the Kevin DeBean Show. She is at CameronEsposito.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about, among other things, the new comedy series that is ripped right from your real life's headlines. It's a,
did you
it's,
just Law and Order?
I loved it. I love
right?
it.
Right? I mean, it is kind of, look, I love these shows like Marin and others where it's a heightened version of real life. And it's so difficult to tell where real life ends and where what you're faking for TV begins. And that's what this show Take My Wife is about. And we'll talk more about it with Cameron right after this on K-Rock. Cameron Esposito in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You know, from the comedy. And I got to tell you, I got to admit this to the audience. I stepped in it a little bit because, Cameron, you brought up the movie Carol as a throwaway in the last segment, and I says to you in the commercial, I says, but did you hear about the controversy about Carol on the airplane that last week? You're the one who started the controversy about the movie Carol being shown on an airplane last week.
Yeah, but I feel really honored that you quoted my controversy to me.
Yes, I'm so embarrassed.
I'm glad it hit your ears, though.
It did. I mean, I was outraged. Tell folks who maybe didn't hear what happened.
Well, so I was on a Delta flight because I have Delta loyalty because mm-hmm. You travel so much, you have to really commit to your airline. You have to really commit to your hotel, and then you try to work your way through
your
status
points.
So
sure.
that you can constantly be in first class as much as possible because your life is very hard and you don't want to talk to people that are strangers and you like to instead wear noise-canceling headphones and just sit in the very front of the plane. And please, maybe could they bring you a small drink? and so I was sitting there and I decided to watch Carol, which is a movie
again.
I have seen before a few times. I have seen it. But I was like, oh, treat yourself, Esposito. And I watched all the way through on the plane, and I realized that on Delta, they had edited it, and I'm assuming not Delta. Like, I don't think they're in an editing bay. I don't think a pilot was in
an
editing
attendant.
Bay.
Let's
but
take
I realized,
that out.
Yes, right. The flight attendant is, like, at the controls. Where's my small, very disgusting food? Well, I'm sorry. I have to edit a movie right now. The version that they show on Delta Airlines is edited so that the two main characters do not kiss in the entire movie. So this is a movie with a lesbian love story.
It's Cate Blanchett, Rooney Mara, if I remember correctly, and it's set in the 1950s. And the entire point of the movie is that they love each other and can't be together because
of the
time. Right, it's forbidden. That's the whole point of the movie.
The whole point of the movie.
I think maybe Delta was just really hammering that point home.
Yes, the whole point of the movie is this is how stressful it is when people have to be closeted.
Right.
And the other thing is that my seatmate was watching what somebody later tweeted at me. That it was called Billions. It's a Showtime show.
Yes, that's right.
Paul Giamatti is bound, and he's participating in BDSM.
Yeah, he goes to the club and get beaten, right?
And that's totally fine.
Totally
I don't
okay.
think there's any shame there. Mm-hmm. But I was just watching the edited version of Carol where two characters do not kiss. He's going like, this is... There seems to be a mismatch here and perhaps like some intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
So I tweeted about it, and then it got picked up because the number of the people that were responding were people like Miranda Lambert. That's not her name. Mary Lambert, who wrote the song Same Love.
Same Love with
very
McElroy.
Very different from Miranda Lambert.
No, Mary Lambert wrote the song Same Love that... Uh-huh. was then picked up by Macklemore and like turned into that big hit. So she was like, wait a minute. I didn't even know these characters kiss because I've only seen the movie on Delta.
No.
And then I was like, sweetheart, you better get on YouTube because they kiss and then they more than kiss.
So were you bemused by this or upset by this? What's your level of anger over this edited movie?
I'm pretty furious about it.
I think you should be furious about it.
I mean, even the screenwriter who actually wrote this movie weighed in because this got passed around a bunch. Like it was literally on like CNN.
That's
like
insane.
Cutting in between election coverage. Like passengers are outraged. But I do think that this sends a clear message, which is that it is not family friendly, that it is disgusting, that some, because I assume also, you know, this is one of those screens where you opt in. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't being played to the entire flight.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, they have those portable entertainment devices, and you choose what movie or TV show you want to watch. Absolutely.
So I'm assuming that they know people are going to click on this and that that person is going to be offended, but maybe that they're protecting my seatmate.
Well, he's watching someone get peed on.
Yeah, so number one, I have to watch his movie. And then second of all, you know, like, does that mean that my seatmate needs to be protected from me?
Right.
You know, like,
right.
That's the message that it sends to me. I fly Delta with my wife. So are we, should we not hold hands?
No.
For fear that somebody would see us and therefore, I don't know, parachute out of the plane to get away from our...
You can do that.
Disgusting.
I don't think
you don't think
possible.
They should.
Well, I don't think you should
de-airlock the plane.
I'm glad you brought that up.
That's insane.
Did you get any reaction from Delta?
They did respond with because it got picked up by so many outlets. They responded by saying that the Weinstein Company, who produced the movie, had only made two versions available, and actually a bunch of other airlines have the unedited version.
Huh.
Like American Airlines shows the unedited version. The only difference is you do see boobs. Which I don't know that I would even want to see on a plane. I kind of have like a no boobs on planes.
Do you? That's
policy?
A policy.
Well, that's where we walk in different directions, Tamara.
But apparently, the way that it's edited, it either has the full, all of the love making,
gotcha,
or zero, not even a kiss.
Yeah. So it goes from G to PG-13, basically.
Yeah, and it really is. The max is that it's PG-13. Like, it's not this super gratuitous stuff, but also they could leave some. Kisses.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
congratulations on getting that to the forefront, though, because I think that's a very legitimate complaint. This is the voice of Cameron Esposito here on the Kevin DeBean Show, stand-up comedian, newlywed, and she's got a new TV show. You know, I didn't know about this. Is it pronounced CISO or Sisu?
No, CISO. You're saying CISO. It, right?
CISO. I didn't know about this this new network for comedy until your friend Jonah Ray came in with his series.
Oh, Hidden America.
Hidden America, which is so
ridiculous.
Funny. So now I've got the CISO, and I'm very excited because starting Thursday, August 11th, Take My Wife, your new series is happening. And it's super funny. And it's, as I mentioned in the break, it's kind of a heightened version of the real life that you and Rhea have, right?
Yes. So it's a show about two married female – well, maybe they get married.
Yeah, they're not in the first two that I saw.
Yeah. Two married
spoiler alert.
Female comic. Well, it's called Take My Wife.
Right.
So, I mean, the spoilers.
Come on, Bean.
Right.
Two married female comics and that are named Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher. And honestly, it's like a real stretch for us.
Yeah.
For
it's hard.
Me and Rhea Butcher.
Was there ever a time where a director or someone said, that's not how you'd do it? You're not playing you as well as you could play you, Cameron.
No, that didn't happen. But I will say that it is extremely bizarre being in a writer's room and people pitch. Because to have a television show, you have to have conflict between characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would kind of pitch out, like, these are the kinds of fights we have because these are the deficiencies in our personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, allow us to be real with you and maybe you could heighten those for TV. And then people are pitching back at you, like, terrible things you would say to your partner or fights that you would have.
No.
And you're sitting there going like, oh, this is very real. And this doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And so, you have to pick, like, you know, you're totally right. That is a terrible thing I would say to her. And I would never say that. And actually, I would say that a little worse. I would be even meaner than that, you know.
So then you have to get in a fake fight on set. And then go home and kind of pretend it didn't happen because otherwise it could easily spill over into your real life.
Right. That was so hard for us because we've never had one fight.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously.
That's wonderful.
We're a married couple.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not, we don't fight. We've never had, it was a lot of acting. Like you can tell watching this show how good of an actor I am that I was able to just kind of manufacture out of nowhere these feelings of stress that do not exist in our relationship.
Sex. Married couples.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, right. Honestly, it's like, can we stop having sex so we can fight now? You know, like I always say that because I'm just like, I want to feel like I'm really in something, you know? And then
I love
the wrong thing to say.
The interview you did with Entertainment Weekly that I saw where you promised that no lesbians would die on your show because oftentimes that's the plight
of
the girl
thing.
On the show.
Yes, exactly. Like for three seasons, these two women are kind of peeking around corners at each other. Maybe one of them's married, one of them's a cop, the other one's a doctor. They solve a ferry accident together where one of them is like, clear, and then the other one is like, I know who did it. It was the other ferry. You know, and they have to like really work on how to deal with things. And then they kiss one time and then through a window just a stray piece of fairy shrapnel takes them both out, you know?
It's so sad when that happens. It debuts Thursday. Are they going to be rolled out an episode at a time, or is the whole season dropping Thursday?
Oh, you can watch the whole bunch. So you can, you can watch it on Thursday and call in to work on Friday because you're so sad that you.
The show
the
is
end
called Take My Wife. It's on CISO starting this Thursday, and don't forget you are doing Tuesdays at UCB Theater still, right?
Yeah, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. That's on Franklin here. It's Amy Poehler's theater. She owns it with her her comedy troupe, the Upright Citizens Brigade. It's early to say brigade, isn't it?
It is. Well, so, like you said, you're busier than ever. And congratulations, Cameron, on everything. It's awesome. Awesome to see all this happening for you.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah. Please have a great day.
Hey, don't forget, keep on listening to K-Rock all this week for more tickets to Disneyland. We're talking about Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes or Park Hopper Passes. Congratulations to Paul Case from Stanton. He won them last hour. We got yours coming up in minutes here on K-Rock.
I'm a park hopper. Hi. Look at me. Look at me hopping through the park.
What's happening right now?
Not sure,
park hopping.
Like...
Is this your new animated character you're pitching?
It just sounds so festive.
It does, doesn't it?
I'm a park hopper. I'm not a park walker. I'm a park hopper.
Sure.
I hop from park to park.
Because you go to Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure.
Almost as good as park skipping.
Go back and forth. Those tickets
hopping!
Coming up. Also from the Fox Network. Announcer Joe Buck joins us later as well. First, Ralph is in for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Because it is a Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Suicide Squad, as expected, crashed the box office, destroyed it, dominated. $135 million. Beanie's just waiting to hit the cash register sound effect, so sometimes I like to just draw it out and see how long I can keep him on the edge of his seat before he loses his mind. No, he's just waiting. Jason Bourne, $22.7 million. Bad Moms, Secret Life of Pets. Star Trek Beyond were the top five movies at the box office. Then Nine Lives, Lights Out, Nerve, Ghostbusters, and Ice Age Collision Course. Those are your top movies at the box office. Well, if you were one of those people who like to go on Hulu and watch free television, Hulu has said, screw you, Lou.
What did what? What was that?
Screw you, Lou.
Okay.
Meaning
they are ending their free ad-supported service over there on Hulu.com.
Really?
If you'd like to go to Hulu and watch, if you're willing to put up with the commercials and you wanted to watch back episodes of your favorite TV shows or other content, you will no longer have that option. They are moving to an entirely subscription-based model, meaning they will be like Netflix and HBO and other streaming sites where you will have to pay the subscription fee in order to watch their programming.
I love Hulu, by the way. They have a lot of great shows, you know, Difficult People and Deadbeat and a bunch of shows. But are we going to get to the point, Ralph, where there's going to be 50 different paid outlets that you're going to have to choose?
You will pay more for streaming television than you do for cable or satellite.
It adds up. People aren't getting that.
It really does.
Yeah. Now, the good news is Yahoo! Is picking up the slack with a new feature called Yahoo View, which will be a free online TV platform. You'll be able to watch the last five episodes from a given show on ABC, NBC, Fox, and other networks. 8 days after the first airing, they will post those shows, so you can watch those with commercials for free if you're so inclined. So Yahoo is in partnership with Hulu. Yahoo and Hulu, not the CISO or the Mooju Goo Goo.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot to keep straight.
There's a lot of vowels sounds in these streaming services.
You're so dumb today.
What about Vimeo and Vudu?
What about Vudu and Vibo and Zibo and Glabba?
Are they just out of words? Are they just stringing together sounds now? Our new streaming service, Klimpa.
Hey, I've noticed that CBS never seems to participate with any of the Hulu nonsense. Is that because they're just saving it all for their own streaming service?
They got access coming, baby.
Okay.
CBS All Access. That's how they're going to maximize the return for the shareholders.
That's what's important. That's what we've learned.
And don't forget to sell off the radio division. That helps, too. And speaking of streaming services like Netflix,
How about this new Netflix show, Beat Bugs? Are you familiar with this? Beat Bugs? Beat Bugs. It's for the kids. It's a cartoon.
To do with Beatles songs, right?
It is a cartoon series for kids telling tales of morality and kindness using all Beatles songs in each and every episode. Kind of a major coup that someone got Sony ATV, that owns the catalog for the Beatles songs, to partner up and give them access and the licensing rights to use the music in a TV series. It's kind of a big deal. This guy's been working at it. The guy who created the show has been working on it for, I think, 5 years. He's been chewing away at that bone, trying to get them to give it up. And finally, Sony and ATV saw the wisdom of introducing the Beatles catalog to a brand new generation of music lovers and buyers. And they have decided to give the go-ahead. So this show starts soon. It's called Beat Bugs. It's an anime show. And the cool thing is they've got all Beatles music in it, but it's all sung by celebrity guests. Here's some examples. I'm a Loser, the Beatles song, sung by James Corden in the
series. Not Beer Mug?
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Although I laugh and I act like a clown, beneath this mask I am wearing a frown.
Hey, Corden, it's mask, okay? Not mask. Ugh, Brits, right? Who's with me?
That sounds amazing.
It is pretty cool. How about Eddie Vedder doing Magical Mystery Tour?
Really? Okay.
Right?
Okay.
The Magical Mystery Tour is waiting.
Pretty cool. And then they got Pink doing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Nice.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly.
Song still hold up, man. It's crazy.
Now, will Kevin be down with this because it's contemporary artists, or will he hate it because the songs are old?
Hate it. So stupid. Old. Sing new song, Pink. He'll say.
I'm just a douchebag.
Right. He'll say that, too. He'll follow
it's
up
like
with
he was
that.
Here.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Dustin Hoffman, 79 years old today. U2 guitarist Dave the Edge Evans, 55. Scott Stapp of Creed is 43. J.C. Chazet from NSYNC is 40 years old. Roger Federer is 35 years old. Megan Good, the lovely and talented actress, turns 35. Jackie Cruz, who plays Flocka on Orange is the New Black, she turns 30. And singer Shawn Mendes is 18 today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Joe Buck, whom we have heard calling World Series and Super Bowls our whole life, is going to be joining us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What? Why are you looking at me like that, Allie?
I was looking at Beer Mug. Because he was doing the weirdest, like his eyebrows were going up and down. He's really excited about it.
He's rubbing his nipples right now.
Yeah, okay. It's a little creepy, I'm not going to lie.
It's boner time for me.
Yeah.
No, he was in the Joe Buck fan club. That's great. Hey, that's the voice of our friend DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
At DJOmarKhan.com if you'd like to book him. He is the best DJ going for parties and for weddings and for whatever else you need music for. DJ's Omar Khan's your guy. But the reason Omar is here is because he brought something up to us, and we said, no, don't tell us, save it for the air. He came in and he said, guys, I think it's time to talk about when you see your parents naked.
Yeah, this is because a couple weeks ago, I was in the shower, and I have a four-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to freak her out about her body. I want her to be comfortable with it, you know. And, you know, I think the worst thing parents do is make a girl feel uncomfortable and insecure about herself.
Sure.
Right? So I do not want to do that, okay? But also, I don't want her to remember my schlong when she's older.
Oh, I think you're giving your schlong a little too much credit.
You know what I mean? Well, I'm showering and she walks in and she's 4 years old and I start thinking to myself, I remember so vividly when I saw my mom's boob. Just one boob.
Not both. Okay.
Not both, just one boob.
Okay.
And I was about 7 years old, and she has, like, silver dollar areolas.
Oh, we don't need that.
Cool. Oh, but it was so hot, guys. Oh, and I just remember that just scarring me.
Yeah.
And it was just so bad. Seven or eight, something like that. And
all right, let me stop you, because I have many questions already.
Okay.
Oof.
First of all, when your daughter walked in, you were getting out of the shower. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I was toweling off.
Toweling off. Okay. Yeah. What was your reaction? Did you freak out and make it an uncomfortable situation, or did you just carry on what you were doing as if it was the most natural thing in the world?
Most natural thing in the world. She's seen me naked before, and I don't think it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I'm her dad, you know.
Not uncomfortable with it. In other words, it's not like she's feeling shame because of anyone's naked body in your house.
None whatsoever. Nope.
And that's your plan, right?
Yep. Not to make it a big deal. It is what it is. We're all humans. We're all people.
A generation ago, when 7-year-old Omar sees his mom, how did she react when she realized you were looking?
So, she, I don't think to this day, knows that I saw her naked. It was one of those deals where...
hiding in a closet?
No.
Waiting for dad to get home?
I hate this story. Just in case.
So, Nesta.
No.
So, it was, she had the bedroom door open, and there was a picture frame on the hallway wall. So, but if you catch the right light, you could see the reflection into the bedroom.
Wow.
So I'm
this
walking.
Is very detailed.
And I'm looking at the picture, and then I see my mom, like, you know, doing one of these. She's taking off her shirt, and I see one boob. She's not wearing a bra, by the way. I don't know what the hell that's about. And I just threw up in my mouth a little.
Okay.
You know, and it was like, I think it was, you know, the right reaction.
It doesn't sound sexy.
It's not the right reaction at all, by
really?
The way. No.
No, at that, well, maybe I was a little older because I already had feeling in my, you know, lower parts already. I was already,
at seven?
You know, yeah. So I don't know what it was, but it was terrifying. And it was only like 3 seconds, but it felt like 30 days.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand because it's so shocking and out of the ordinary from anything you've ever seen in your entire life before.
Mm-hmm.
I can totally get that. We'll take a couple of calls, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. We don't have much time here because our guest, Joe Buck, is already here, by the way.
Oh, wow.
But I thought this was interesting. I did a little bit of research on this, and the consensus seems to be among people is that make it a comfortable situation for people to see each other naked. As long as nobody is uncomfortable with it, you don't create all of that angst that happened to you, Omar.
Right.
That lasts the rest of your life.
Is your question how much longer are you able to do this before it gets weird for both of you? Is that kind of what you're asking? Or are you just going to keep going until it's not weird? Or until it gets
weird?
For
me, I'm going to probably, you know, we're going to cut it off now. Because for me, my biggest deal is, like, you know, I don't want her to be comparing me to her boyfriends when she's older and be like, man, daddy had
you
such a nice
need
schlong.
To
and
stop.
Like, you know what? Now the dudes that just cannot
for the
compare.
Love.
You know what I mean?
Omar, stop using your mouth.
Listen
That's
to
not what you said. I mean, what?
What?
Listen to this. By the way, Omar is somebody's father, which is the most terrifying
thing. Two girls, right?
Listen to this, Allie. This is a blogger named Rita Templeton. Here, she wrote a post about why she wants her sons, ages 2, 5, 6, and 9, to see her naked. This was posted on the Huffington Post not long ago. She said she wanted her sons to see what real women look like before they are bombarded with an ideal in the media that doesn't match reality, before they're exposed to boobs that are round and firm as cantaloupes and pictures of taut, airbrushed, dimpleless butts. I want them to see a different kind of female body, mine. So she's going beyond just making it not a thing. She's intentionally getting naked in front of them because she wants them to know what a woman looks like.
Is she hot?
Well, it doesn't. I don't think that's the point. The point is she's a regular person. What do you think about that?
I think you're making it a thing by pretending you're not making it a thing.
Like, they're gonna eventually go to school and they're gonna be like, hey, did you guys see your mom naked all the time or whatever? It's gonna be like Ellie said, it's gonna be a thing.
Yeah,
it's not normal.
Rhonda Woods, mother of three, said ever since her children were little, she and her husband have been teaching them not to be ashamed of their bodies. They have never hidden their bodies from their kids. As they get older, my husband is more discreet around our daughter, and I am more discreet around our son, not because we're uncomfortable, because they may be. So when it's time to undress, I tell whichever of my kids is in the room talking to me that I plan to do so, and they have the option to leave. So that's another one who's just trying
or
to make it
and watch.
As cool as-
oh, my God.
Omar,
why is
everything creepy with you?
All right, you guys are making it creepy. I'm comfortable with myself.
Let's take one call real quick. It's going to be Jim in Mission Viejo. He's on line for it. Maybe all we have time for. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, so Omar, I was listening to your story, and I was under the exact same impression that was a good thing to do. Here's the problem.
Uh-oh.
When your daughter, who lives at home, gets to 24 years old, and then she cruises in and is talking to you in the shower when, like, there's nothing going on. That's when it gets...
Okay. I don't think Omar is letting it go quite that far.
I'm not going to go that far. Yeah, maybe, you know, 18.
Omar.
Just saying, at some point, I don't know where the line is, and that's where we always had a problem is, hey, when do you go? Hey, maybe...
Yeah, I think... Stop. Like Bean was describing one of those stories he was reading. I think we're just going to discreetly, you know, lock the door from now on and,
right.
you know, just not be around her naked anymore, you know, is the thing we're going to do, but not make it a big thing.
Yeah, don't make it a thing.
Catch me, right.
Exactly. All right, Jim, thanks for the call. We'll take a quick break. Our guest is here, Joe Buck, talks sports next on K-Rock. All right, let's try not to make this suck, you guys. We have a professional broadcaster on the deck. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Buck is here.
Joe Buck.
From the Fox TV.
Wacky
from,
morning guy. That's what I'm going to be right now.
From all the no. baseball and all the football and all the interviews. How are you, Joe?
I'm great. Thank you. Yeah, it's summer's a little bit busy, but doing this kind of stuff I love. I love just being able to sit, talk, and God, I love the topic. It's me.
Are you bummed, too, when you see your broadcast colleagues working their asses off down in Brazil? Are you bummed to not be doing the Olympics?
Not at all. I like being able to turn it on and... I like the way they craft the stories, but I'm not dying to do the Olympics. I think they do a tremendous job of promoting that, packaging it, and good for them. You know, last night was fun to watch, and I've gotten to know Michael Phelps. One of the reasons why I'm on here is to talk about this interview show on the Audience Network, and I got a chance to sit down with Michael Phelps, and I said going in, I would not bet against that guy. He's cleaned his life up. He's in the best shape of his career. And it showed last night. He was brilliant in that relay.
Yeah, I think our friend Andrew Siciliano tweeted out a stat that I found fascinating. He's won what now, Joe? 23 Olympic medals, I want to say?
Yeah, 19 gold.
And 19 gold. And he said that there are 50-something countries that have never won one medal. Countries that have never won one medal.
Well, then that's just rude.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's won 23 of them.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've seen a bunch of episodes of You're Undeniable because you really do get the best and biggest and most interesting names in sports. And you mentioned it's on the Audience Network. Season 2 is premiering this Wednesday night. Why do you do it in front of an audience?
Well, first of all, that freaked the hell out of Derek Jeter. He showed up. He's like, there's an audience here.
And yeah, he didn't know.
He didn't know. And I had to and I had to kind of soft sell it and kind of make up to him for that. I don't know why that unnerved him, but I don't know if I would get more if it was just the two of us in a room and two chairs and one camera. Or
I feel
if,
like that would make it more intimate to not have an audience and not be aware of how what you're saying is playing with a crowd. That's
but I like somebody who feels the sense that they have to perform a little bit. And I think sometimes these guys get really closed off. It's why we did the show in the first place, because you feel like you know who these guys are, whether it's Gretzky or Michael or Abby Wambach or whoever, and you really don't. And you realize they're flawed people who have fallen and had to get back up, nobody more so than Michael. And getting that out of them and doing it in front of a crowd and kind of sensing that the crowd's with them on this tale, is pretty cool. I'm glad we do it in front of an audience.
Do you find athletes difficult to interview because they have so many canned answers that because they're used to being interviewed every day and they just almost try as hard as they can to not give anything away?
Yes, and it was the biggest challenge with Jeter, who is one of the was as a sports star was one of the worst interviews ever, and I think he kind of did that for protection not only of himself but of starting some firestorm in a clubhouse that wasn't necessary.
So yeah, it's easy to end up on the back page of the New York Post if you
Absolutely.
Say the wrong thing.
And if you think about it, I mean, Jeter dated them all. He just got married. He was the shortstop and captain of the Yankees for a team that was winning world championships. And he never read one bad thing the guy did. And I refuse to believe he was living in a church when he was in a Yankee stadium. So he was doing stuff.
Even the stories of him giving gift baskets
Which
to the ladies. I was
about.
Like, you're amazing
yeah,
for that. I took that as, well, what a delightful
what
thing,
a nice
Derek Jeter.
Guy.
What a nice parting gift.
A nice headshot and a baseball on your way out of the door.
Right?
Yeah.
Delightful.
Yeah, it
and
is.
Possibly a baby.
And maybe, who knows?
You haven't done A-Rod yet, have you?
I actually texted him this morning in the
car. Well, because there's
on
a
the
lot to
here.
Talk about right now after that tearful press conference this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I could go a lot of different ways on Alex. I really happen to like him a lot personally. And I think he's just one of those guys that's always wanted to be loved. And he just can't avoid the puddle almost every time. And it's almost tragic that way. But in my mind, he will go down as one of the best players of all time with regard to ability. But you've always got the cloud of performance-enhancing drugs. It's hovering over him. So if he were to ever sit down in that chair, it'd be epic, I think.
Yeah,
I can't imagine he's not frustrated with how he is not loved, considering how good he is at playing his sport.
Yeah, and, you know, also, we all know this one stream of drug users, performance-enhancing drug users in baseball, but it is the tip of a massive iceberg, and he's on the you did it list, and I'm sure he looks around and he's seeing guys go in the Hall of Fame going, whoa, all right, I realize I didn't play by the rules all the time, but neither did he, and he, and he, and he, and he, and right. yet they're loved. That's got to be so frustrating, and it would be something I'd want to talk to him about.
No, that would be a fascinating interview. And I, you know, as a Seattle Mariners fan for so long, I got the best of A-Rod. I got him when he was, you know, young and great and explosive and exciting and did so much for the team. But I feel like ever since he made that, at the time, the biggest sports deal in history to go to the Rangers, what was it, $25 million a year or something like that? I feel like his image never recovered from that. I think a lot of people held that against him.
Yeah, because, and I don't think he has the right kind of personality to be able to handle all that. Stuff. I think he kind of cracked under the weight of now we can all say, yeah, poor him crying all the way to the bank. And it's true. But at least on the personal side, I think he kind of cracked under the pressure of that deal with how to handle it, how to be a teammate, how to. But I'll tell you this. I talked to guys on the Yankees and guys that he's played with. They like him and they like playing with him. And they'll tell you he's a good teammate. But a lot of the pressure seemed to get to him at times.
What? This is the voice of a Joe Buck here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about, among other things, his series called Undeniable with Joe Buck. Although I always want to call it Undateable for some reason. Yeah. I don't know if that's just...
Which I think his wife prefers.
Yeah, no, that's well said. I always consider myself, at least in high school, I was undateable. But then, you know, fame and fortune, and all of a sudden, I was dateable.
What's the common thread in all of these superstar athletes that you've interviewed for the show so far that surprised you? Obviously, there's some that you would expect that they would have in common, dedication to sport and everything. Is there anything that surprised you that you have noticed that they all have in common?
Well, it would be too easy. It wouldn't surprise anybody to say that they're relentless. But I think when you – I have a tendency – like I work with Aikman. And to me, Troy Aikman is the kind of guy who annoys the hell out of you because it seems like there are 37 hours in his day, where in my day it feels like there are four. And I can't get anything done, and they get everything done. And he'll get up at 6 to work out. And that's what these guys do. They're guys and gals, willing to do what others aren't willing to commit to. And I love being around people like that because I know I'm not like that. I wish I was, but... I tend to err on the side of lazy than as opposed to, hey, let's get up and go for a jog. That has no interest for me at all.
Would people be so surprised how much preparation is involved before you sit down to call a game?
Yeah. People think you just kind of show up and you wing it. And I think on some levels, the really good ones do more of that than relying on what they've seen in the past. But you have to put things in context and know why – Kershaw's a story, or I was just joking with
Beer Mug here.
Yeah, about his look. I felt like I was looking, staring into the mug of Eric Gagne, the great Dodger closer.
We are never going to hear the end of that.
Yeah, I know.
But you're going to take that as a compliment, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
It
should be. That's a good sure little was. Canadian closer.
I love it.
But putting all the numbers, which is annoying, I think, to the average fan. Nobody wants to hear all that statistical junk, at least in my opinion. But why is somebody good, and where do they fit in history, and what makes them a story worth covering in that game? And then you watch the game, and you kind of throw all that away, but you better have that stuff down, and that's what you have to do, and try to make it sound like you don't.
Yeah, and part of the reason, I know we got to take a break here, but I'm enjoying this so much. Part of the reason we all love sports so much is we grew up with it, and we'd like to put it in historical context. And that's where you're coming from, too, as a guy who is a lifelong fan of baseball and of football, is no game is standing out by itself.
Yeah, and I would think, I know this is a national show you guys have, but if we're on in LA and if you took calls right now, half the calls would be, ask this guy why he hates the Dodgers.
Why are you such a homer,
right,
Joe Buck?
Yeah. Why do you love the Cardinals and hate the Dodgers? You go to San Francisco, why do you love the Dodgers and you hate the Giants? You go to Boston, why do you hate the Red Sox and love the Yankees?
But why do you hate the Red Sox?
Yeah, that's a long story.
How dare you, Joe
Buck? No, it's
very justifiable, Joe.
Right,
how
yeah.
dare you?
No,
be?
It's weird because when you do those, it's like, God, where do you think I'd rather be? Fenway Park or somewhere? You'd rather be at Fenway Park or old Yankee Stadium, but the local fans live and die by their team and by their local announcers who are there representing their interests. So when we talk about the other side, people go, well, I don't hear this in other games. I don't care about the Mets. I'm a Dodger fan. And so why is he talking about the Mets, and why did he get excited when, you know, whoever from the Mets had a home run? So it's crazy how into it baseball fans are. And the perception of what they think you are is so off when you sit
there. You
try
to be impartial, but like you said, you're telling him something the hometown guy never tells him.
Right.
So it makes you seem partial.
And stuff they don't care about. I swear to you, when you do a local game, the director doesn't show the other bullpen, and you don't tell stories about the other manager and, you know, their charity day at the local hospital. They're like, I don't care. Tell me about the Dodgers or the Mets. So it's a tough balancing act, but you get through it and you realize you're happy people care.
Joe Buck is here. Undeniable with Joe Buck is the show. It premieres season 2 on the Audience Network this Wednesday night. We'll talk about that some more. Also, Joe has a book coming out later on.
Ah, yes.
And more when we return right after this on K-Rock. This Joe Buck is pretty good at radio, you guys. That's what I'm learning.
Hey, it's... What time is it? 8:38, 22 minutes before 9 o'clock. Yeah, I used to do radio. That's how I started.
Really? Before sports?
When I was 18.
Were
I
you
was
a
broadcasting.
DJ?
I did the sports. I would come in and do the sports as an 18-year-old, and my presence just made the host of the show pissed. And it was pure nepotism because my dad worked at the station in St. Louis, KMOX, their FM side. The boss was like, yeah, do that for the summer. Just go do the sports. I was 18, and every time I walked through that door, the host was like, oh, God.
You
Jack's
really,
kid.
It was harder for you to get into sports broadcasting than anybody else, right? I would imagine.
Well, it's easy to get in. I think it's harder to stay when you're somebody's kid and you're broadcasting. I was doing the Cardinals at 21. I left college to go do Major League Baseball, and that's
wow. Oh my God!
And that's purely because of nepotism, and so you know that. And there were articles written in the St. Louis paper about how insulting it was that this kid is doing the beloved Cardinals on the radio. So I had to kind of plow through that at an early age, and I was an immature little baby crying about that article when it first came out. I didn't get it. Now I do. But, yeah, it forced me to work my ass off getting ready for it.
I get the impression, Joe, as successful as you have been and all the Emmys that you've won and all the acclaim and the high-profile, you know, sports announcing gigs that you get, that it still bothers you when a fan calls you out.
It still
seems to bug you.
Certain parts of it. I get, you know, even last night, if you go on my Twitter, there's a guy, lucky nepotism guy. Thank God your dad was famous or you wouldn't have a job. And it's like, I don't remember my dad working at Fox, but maybe he did. I don't remember signing a deal with him, or he's been gone for 14 years. I don't think they're still doing him favors, but... yeah, I don't know why that one grates at me. Maybe because I'm fragile, more fragile than I know I am. But if I lay down on a couch, you could probably get that out. I mean, it's why I wrote a book. You mentioned the book, and it's probably not why I'm here, but that's why I went through all that stuff.
Lucky Bastard, My Life, My Dad, and the Things I'm Not Allowed to Say on TV is the name of Joe's book. It's coming out on November 15th of this year. What aren't you allowed to say on TV, Joe?
Well, read it, and then you tell me. How long would I last in the booth if I said half of what's in that book?
How about how opinionated are you allowed to be? Like, can you say during an NFL broadcast, that guy sucks?
No. I mean, I could say it. I could try to become the next Howard Cosell. I mean, people are on my ass anyway, so... Mm-hmm.
Call somebody out for being unprepared or for...
Yeah,
for,
I would never do that. I remember when I was getting dropped off at AAA Louisville, my dad actually drove me there, and he said, remember, unless you think you could do that play 10 times out of 10, these guys are better than you'll ever understand on the field. I would never say that about somebody that's talented enough to be in a game that I'm calling. That would, it's just not my style.
It's easy for fans to do it, though, isn't
it? I was going to say, but the flip side is people really let you know.
Yeah.
People sitting on their couch. That's one thing that I listened to you on Pardon My Take on that podcast. I didn't know you had it in you, Joe. I'm not going to lie. You were dreamy on that podcast. You were giving
it right back
to them.
They were asking me questions that you know, at some point, it was like when I had the show on HBO and Artie Lang was on. It was like the little habit trail in my head, the gopher running on it. It wasn't a little, what do they call it? Why can't I think of it? Now, what's on a habit trail? Gerbil. I have a gopher. It's massive. It's running on this habit trail. And I'm watching Artie Lang just destroy this show, the first one live on HBO. And I'm in my head on that habit trail, it's going, do I jump down in there and lose everything I've built up? Or do I just sit here and take it? And I had to just sit there and take it. And it was fine. It didn't bother me. That's in the book, too. It was HBO's reaction to Artie being on there. It's like, what do you expect? That's why we wanted him on.
Yeah.
Who cares? Right. And so he took shots at me. It's okay. I asked him to do it. I didn't know it would go that far. But, I have a side to me that I don't let out very often because it's too detrimental to my career.
Sure. Who do you think is the best in the broadcasting business?
Easy.
Who do you admire?
Well, play-by-play, Al Michaels is still the best to me. Not just because his voice, for somebody my age, I'm 47, but his voice means I need to watch this game. Mm-hmm. But he's still so precise, and he's, you know, some of the humor is misses, let's say, but I love the guy, and I enjoy sitting down watching a game that he's calling. Doc Emmerich in hockey.
Oh, I love.
I mean, his vocabulary and the way he can, his synapses fire.
He says it's like sachet.
Yeah.
Come on.
Ladles the puck into the corner. Ladles? What does that even mean? Spirits the puck. I mean, he sits around and thinks of this stuff, and then he's smart enough to get it in fast. Those are the guys that if they're doing a game, I think Tirico's great at everything.
Yeah, he is.
I'm just not going to turn it down or turn it off. And if they're on, I'm probably going to watch it even if I don't care who's in the game.
When you're calling a game, is there pressure on you to come up with, you know, your home run call or your signature expression or anything like that? Do you think about any of that stuff ahead of time or does it just come out in the moment?
That's death. And I learned that in the McGuire home run chase in 98 because – when he was closing in on Roger Maris's record, people kept asking me, what are you going to say when he hits the home run? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to say anytime I sit down, but I don't know. So then they started asking me, and pretty soon I started to go to bed thinking about it, waking up thinking about it. And I wrote it down before the game when he actually hit it. And because he hit the ball that was barely fair and barely got over the wall, I couldn't get my eyes down to this stupid script that I had written. And I just called it for what it was, and he leapt over first base or leaped over first base, whatever it is, and I got that in the call, and it was cool to me because it was germane and it was real and it was accurate to what actually happened, not what I woke up thinking about some dumb call that I thought would go down in
history.
Do you
remember what the script was?
The script was something about like McGuire around the history books and straight into the record books or something. Yeah.
We were deprived of
that. You suck. Yeah, thank God he hit the home run he hit. So I could just call it and get out of the way. I like to call it and get out of the way.
I do too. And I know that there were people who did it before Vin did it. But when I hear him just shut up and let the moment just play out, that's beautiful.
What's better than a crowd? I'll tell you, it's not just a crowd going nuts. Sometimes it's just the silence of 50,000 people if a big moment happens. And, you know, like Bumgarner at Kansas City in Game 7 in the World Series a couple of years ago was just out of his mind great. And there he was again with a five-inning save or whatever it was. And he made an entire stadium just go dead quiet because he shut it down with a tying run at third base. So those moments, unless you're there just to hear yourself talk, which is what I'm doing on this interview, is just shut up. Let it go.
Joe, I wish my partner Kevin were here today because I so constantly try to get him to accept baseball as a great sport, and he just won't. He's got attention deficit disorder, and things have to be moving fast for
Yet
a guy
he
like
watches
him.
Soccer.
Yet he watches soccer. And it's,
yeah,
I
don't get that one.
No.
I don't get that either. What do people miss about baseball? Because baseball has dropped a few notches. It's no longer America's pastime. Let's be honest. That's the NFL now. What is it young people are not getting into baseball? Why is that?
Well, I think there's some of what you just talked about, just kind of the instant gratification of wanting to see runs or wanting to, that's why it blows me away that soccer is growing in popularity and good for soccer. I come from St. Louis, which is a huge soccer town, but there's so few goals that, you know, I'm stunned. But baseball, what are they missing? I think, you know, those who enjoy the game enjoy the strategy of it and who's in the bullpen, who's available, who's on the bench. How do you, you know, manipulate a 25-man roster to night after night get the most out of what you've got in the dugout or in the bullpen? I just think that stuff is fascinating. And come October, when a whole stadium is shaking and it comes down to a guy on the mound with a ball and a guy at the plate with a bat, you know, that's where you get those walk-off moments that the NFL rarely provides. And if they do, it's usually a kicker out on the field making a game-winning field goal. So
every once in a while, there'll be a Hail Mary or something.
Every once in a while. Right. I did an NFC champ game up there. Where
I remember it well.
In Seattle where, you know, it was Green Bay and it ended on an overtime touchdown. And, man, those moments are unbelievable, but they're not very frequent.
Who won that one?
Seattle.
Oh,
Allie likes to point out as a Patriots fan that Seattle doesn't always win in the last 30
seconds. Well, then they went on to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's where I was going.
Yes.
What happened at the end of that one?
I don't think we need to get into that, Allie. Thank you.
An interception.
All right,
Wait,
Joe.
They threw
got
it?
They threw it.
That is insane.
Why would they throw it?
All right.
Could have run it right in.
We had Al Michaels on this show a couple of days after that Super Bowl, by the way, and he was still shaking his head that he had never seen a play like that.
Yeah,
I just couldn't believe it.
It just defied logic. They couldn't stop him, and then let's throw it.
I'm so sad that we're about to say goodbye, Mr. Buck, because we could talk all
day. Can we promote the damn show one more time, please?
That's what I want to end with. Right. Undeniable with Joe Buck, Audience Network, coming back for season 2 on Wednesday night. Who's
Brett
your first
Favre.
Guest?
Oh,
Brett
my.
Favre. Is he going to cry?
He choked up. Everybody has cried on that set. Everybody.
You're like the Barbara Walters.
I am. I'm the Roy Fire. I'm the latter-day Roy Firestone now.
He cried at his Hall of Fame speech the other day,
that
too. Did
speech,
you see that?
It was so long, and I could have listened for 25 more hours.
We used to do this production. I know we're going. We do these production meetings. You used to have to kick him out of the room.
Right.
And it was like, hey, Brett, we got to go. Let's wrap this up. So he should be on TV. He should be in a studio show somewhere. And we sat there for 3 freaking hours, and the things cut down to 1 on Wednesday night.
Wow.
Can't wait. That's going to be great. And the book, coming out November 15th.
Lucky Bastard.
Lucky Bastard, My Life, My Dad, and the Things I'm Not Allowed to Say on TV. Maybe, Joe, if you're in town and you have time.
Are you kidding?
Come
I'll
on
walk
back.
Here. I'll
come
walk.
On back.
Yes.
Follow him on Twitter, but don't engage. At Buck.
Do it at your own risk, you jerks.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.
Foo Fighters on K-Rock. Now Ralph steps in. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on, Mr.
Hey,
Beerman,
you like beats, don't you? You like beats?
Love beats.
Yeah, me too. I'm listening to that Learn to Fly song by Foo Fighters there. One of my favorites. And that drum beat, that Taylor Hawkins drum beat, it's got a little Ticket to Ride thing from the Beatles, right?
Doom, pop, doom, pop, doom, pop. I love it.
Doom, pop, doom, pop. Doom, doom, right?
Yeah.
It's like the same beat, right?
Taylor Hawkins is the man.
He is the man. He's the mother effing man. By the way, speaking of beats and Ringo Starr, who, of course, was the Beatles drummer, great piece of video I saw on YouTube the other day. I don't know how old it is, but it is some of the world's greatest drummers talking about how little and underappreciated Ringo Starr is.
Yes, some of the best drummers in the world say he's their favorite.
It's Grohl, it's Hawkins, it's Questlove, it's, I mean, just a ton of amazing guys talking about how he was never flashy, didn't garner a lot of attention, didn't bring a lot of attention onto himself while he was playing, but still to this day is the backbone of like almost all rock drumming.
And a lot of people say he's overrated, though.
Like, that's the guff on him. Like,
totally
Ringo's overrated.
He was lucky enough to be in the greatest band, rock and roll band, arguably in the world, right? But I think he's underappreciated for what he accomplished as a drummer.
I heard, and I don't have a source on this, Ralph, but I heard that they never had to retake a Beatles recording of a song because Ringo screwed up. That in all the hundreds of songs that they recorded, he never blew it.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Which
what more
is
do you need to know?
Pretty impressive, if
right?
true.
Okay. Enough of that.
This has been Ringo Talk.
Yeah, I don't know where how that happened. It just struck me as we were listening to that song. I like Beats.
Me too. Yeah.
Ringo.
Right?
Right.
Ringo for president.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday morning. Suicide Squad. Number one at the box office, $135 million. Made it number one. Jason Bourne was second, then Bad Moms, The Secret Life of Pets, Star Trek Beyond at number five. Nine Lives, that's Kevin Spacey as a cat, in case you're keeping track at home on your scorecard. $6.5 million made it number six. Really? I want to talk to somebody who went to see Nine Lives, who circled that on their calendar and said, what do I got? Oh, new movie's coming out this weekend. I got to go see me that Kevin Spacey turns into a cat movie.
I feel like
with Jennifer Garner raising a child.
The cast, you're like, oh, that's a great cast. It can't be bad.
Well, what am I, blind in one eye? I can't see the rest of the trailer.
Yes,
I just see the
you
cast.
Are blind in one eye.
I mean, what kind of person only goes to a movie based on a cast without saying, why is there a big cat on the poster? Wouldn't you look into that a little bit?
Well, first of all, it's unfair to talk about Kevin when he's not here.
But come on.
You got to imagine that there are parents out there who have their screaming, stinking kids all summer long.
Wow. Why are the kids stinking and screaming?
Because
by the
they've
way.
Already seen Secret Life of Pets, so they go, what now? Oh, that's for kids. Let's dump them there. Right? That's got to be some
that's
of it.
That's child abuse. That's what that is.
Is you anybody buying this polished turd?
You seem like a guy who would rather not take his kid to the movie than take his kid to a terrible movie.
Of course.
You think?
Wouldn't everyone? Isn't that the answer?
Apparently that's not how many people
do good things
operate.
For your children and less bad things for them. I would think that would be, I don't know, maybe not rule one in the book, but rule two or three.
Somebody out there went to see Nine Lives.
Yes, to the tune of $6.5 million, making it number six. Then Lights Out, Nerve, Ghostbusters, and Ice Age Collision Course at number 10. I'm out of time. I have a great story and I'm out of time. Thanks a lot. Ringo, asshole.
I think you brought it up.
I'll bring it up. I'll bring up this amazing story that I've got in the...
Give us a hint. What's it involve?
It's a new reality show.
Okay.
It's a new weekly reality show.
I'm in.
Starring two unlikely co-stars. Two unlikely celebrities will be pairing up to host a reality show.
I'm excited to hear it.
I'm glad you are. Stick around. Be right back. Give us a call. We'll get right back. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dustin Hoffman, 79 years old today. The Edge from U2 is 55 years old. Scott Stapp turns 43. J.C. Chazet from NSYNC, 40 years old. Roger Federer is 35. Megan Good, also 35 today. Jackie Cruz, who plays Flocka on Orange is the New Black, she is 30. And Shawn Mendes, the singer, 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
That's a band, Ralph, called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They are new since you were out on vacation. You might have missed them, but they're very popular.
I think they got a future.
Different sound.
Is really unique.
That's right. Hey, it's 9:30, say 6. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning.
Let's say 7.
Sure.
9:37.
You teased us last hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with this.
Yeah. Okay.
Nope.
Ralph,
put it away.
Nope.
Put it away.
That was like a double.
Don't ever do that.
God.
You teased us with a story that sounded fascinating to
right.
me. What do you got?
So what? Just blow off the top 10 movies at the box office? Just,
you can do all of that.
Just ignore that part?
Just don't
the
forget
opening
my
of
story.
Showbiz
that's
beat?
All, because I don't know what it is, and I hate not knowing things.
I know that for sure. It is Monday morning, so in the Showbiz Beat, we usually talk about the top 10 movies at the box office. So you know what people went to see over the weekend? Suicide Squad, as expected, the big winner. $135 million in its opening weekend. I had a chance to see it on Friday. I enjoyed myself. It was a good time at the movie theater. I had some issues with the film. But it was so much damn fun that he really didn't get in my way. I just ate my popcorn and watched that Margot Robbie walk around in short shorts. And
how's that bell?
Dink, dink. Be hitting a hubcap with a wrench there. What's going on? Fix your bell.
It is fixed now. It was propped up against something.
I'm sure it was propped up against something.
Well, you were talking about Margot Robbie, and it just got crowded in here. That's all.
Oh, Lord. Jason Bourne was second at the box office. Bad Moms was third. Secret Life of Pets came in at number four. Star Trek Beyond was fifth. Nine Lives debuted to $6.5 million. Once again, just to keep you abreast of what's happening in Hollywood, that is the movie where Kevin Spacey turns into a cat.
Right.
One of our greatest living actors is the voice of a cat who, like, falls off a table. Well, this is hard to do. Walking. And then hilarity ensues.
If there's a, there's got to be a list that someone keeps track of the worst movies that people do after they win their Academy Awards. And I imagine this would make it.
This is what I like to call a mortgage movie.
Right.
Yeah. This is Spacey buying a vacation home, I'm guessing. Someone wrote me a snarky email, by the way, and said, oh, Bill Murray played a cat in Garfield. I said, yeah, and then lived to regret it. Says so in Zombieland. Any regrets? Garfield, maybe. Before he dies, he admits it. Lights Out was seventh. Nerve was eighth. Ghostbusters was number nine. And then Ice Age Collision Course at number 10. All right, here's your story, Bean. Here's your facts. I teased last hour that the story I wanted to talk about was a newly greenlit reality series that will feature two unlikely celebrities as co-hosts.
Okay.
The show will be on VH1. It is a dinner party format reality show where celebrity friends will be invited over and there will be cocktails and cooking and conversation. All the big C's. Hosted by Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg.
Oh.
Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg teaming up to host Martha and Snoop's dinner party.
Well, I mean, look.
No, you look.
It's stunt casting.
What? You think?
But I think they both have something to contribute.
Here's the thing, though, about these dinner party format reality shows where, oh, nothing's off limits and we're drinking and it's all crazy. You're a fly on the wall. It's just not so. It's just not.
It's contrived.
It's contrived and it's never a real dinner party and it doesn't feel like you're there with
Although
people
I will
and
tell
friends.
You that the dinner for five, I think it was called, the Jon Favreau one, I really enjoyed.
Yes.
Maybe he just has awesome friends, but I really enjoyed the conversation.
Right, and that was a conversation about largely the filmmaking and things they could speak of with some authority. Some authority, and they would be just humorous, entertaining people, and it would be an interesting conversation to listen in. This is, I'm telling you, is not going to be that.
This is none of that.
It's like, whoa, Kris Jenner stopped by, and she's got some sangria. It's nuts up in here.
So you're feared for this.
It's not going to be good. Right. I'm just telling you, it's not going to be good. Let me read you from the press release, shall I? Martha and Snoop's dinner party will redesign the traditional food competition show in a new, different, and very funny way. Here's Snoop's quote. My homegirl Martha and I have a special bond that goes back. We're going to be cooking, drinking, and having a good time with our exclusive friends. Can't wait for you to see how we roll together.
I don't think he said any of that.
Said a publicist who signed Snoop's name.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
Yeah. So, there you go. There's your new
reaction. Where would we be without the Snoop man?
Living the golden age. Last night on a match game, Alec Baldwin called him Snoopy Dogg, which I think maybe he would like to take back. Anybody watching the big lineup of game shows on Sunday nights?
Is it still on when Ray Donovan's on? And the night before? And Vice Principal? And the night of? Vice Principals? Ballers? I mean, Sunday's got it all.
You know, there's a technology now that exists.
Don't even tell me about it. I would like to hear about the future
program,
stuff.
One program while you're simultaneously digitally recording another program.
Huh.
It happens.
But I don't think game shows, for me, are the type of show that you... Yeah, you might watch it if it's on. That's not the type of show you
It's not appointment
right,
TV.
Right, so you record your faves,
but you're
your
too
dramas,
excited to see what happens next on Ray Donovan.
And then
not
you
watch
sit
that
back and you pop a cold one and you get out your Fritos and you watch Michael Strahan playing the $100,000 pyramid.
You're sitting on your couch with a beer and Fritos watching that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe you.
Anyway.
Did you see Ray Donovan last night, Ralph?
I did see Ray Donovan last night. Oh,
that Mickey in jail?
That's got real right
what?
There. My stomach! Yeah, you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that roomy.
No, you
that
don't.
Bunky.
You don't want to be either partner in that room.
Boy, that show's intense. And I'm loving Hank Azaria back, by the
way.
Oh,
he's so good.
So good. So entertaining. And have we ever had him on the show? Bean, you would know. It's your show.
I think we have, but it's been a very, very long time. I'd be happy to have him on again.
I don't know if he's got much of a future on Ray Donovan any longer. It may be a little late to talk to him about his role on that show, but... I thought it was wildly entertaining last night. For those of you who didn't see it, you're probably very unhappy hearing us talk about it. So I will move on. Farrah Abraham in the news. Remember her? Remember Farrah Abraham?
Teen Mom.
Teen Mom. She became a media celebrity with 16 and pregnant. And then she was a teen mom. And then, of course, she was the star of Backdoor Teen Mom, her feature film.
Yeah.
Farrah Abramson.
Right. Farrah Abramson. She has... come forward and revealed secrets about her life because she realized that no one was talking about it.
Uh-huh.
So she had to change that. She said she has a list of celebrities and politicians who have offered her up to $20,000 just to sleep with her.
Oh,
wow.
Dear. I don't know.
$20,000.
Wow. And Dr. Drew did it for free, right? When
he knocked her up
I don't
for that
think
show
that's
on
true.
MTV. You're right.
That's not true.
That's how it worked.
No.
So, she claims that.
Is she naming names?
She's not naming names. Of course not, because it's not real, Bean. She couldn't possibly name names.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
no one's offering her $20,000 to sleep with her.
I wouldn't think they would either.
Unless.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Unless it's a snuff film, I would say. Then that's a valid number, I think. That's a paycheck.
And it would be worth it.
Right. She says she's never taken any of them up on their offer because she has self-respect.
You liar!
And while we're talking about the sex lives of the semi-rich and semi-famous, how about, I wish Kevin was here to talk about his boyfriend, Lionel Messi.
What's going on with Messi?
Lionel Messi is in the news because an Argentinian model has come forward, did an interview in the tabloids where she had sleeping with Lionel Messi was like having sex with a dead body.
Oh my God.
That's unfortunate.
That's about as rude as you can get. Mm. Hey, less talking, Argentinian model. A little more keeping your own business to yourself. Huh. Yeah, apparently it was a lackluster experience on her part, and she said he was like a dead body during sex. And now in his defense, he is a soccer star, so he's not allowed to use his hands.
Oh,
so that might have had something to do with it, I think.
All of that.
Maybe he's just not used to, he doesn't have a lot of experience with, you see, because. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dustin Hoffman. Boy, is he great. Great in almost everything, right?
Yep.
Ever seen a bad Dustin Hoffman performance?
Mm-mm.
Right? That's what I'm saying. 79 years old today. Dave the Edge Evans from U2 is 55 years old. Scott Stapp turns 43. J.C. Chazet is 40 years old. Roger Federer, the tennis player, is 35. Actress Megan Good is 35 years old. Jackie Cruz, who plays Flocka on Orange is the New Black, is 30. And singer Shawn Mendes celebrates 18 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph, and welcome back, man. We really missed you last
Thank
week.
You, sir.
Good to have you again. Hey, on your drive home today, be sure to listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow, we have a great show planned for you because our friend Mr. Craig Robinson is going to be stopping by.
Oh,
Mr. Robinson, who, by the way, is not only on Mr. Robot Season 2, but he's got a new show coming out called Morris from America that looks fascinating, too. I just love Craig.
Yes.
Jay Hernandez is going to be here as well. He plays Diablo in the Suicide Squad movie, America's number
one
film.
He's great, by the way. He's good in the film. Really
good.
Good. Yeah.
Good. That's going to be tomorrow. And we also have more passes for you to go to Disneyland. Deluxe annual pass plus a Disneyland Park Hopper ticket for you as well. That's all tomorrow, Tuesday, right here on the world-famous K-Rock.